Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
4:03, it is a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, and that means we are presented by City Tractor in North Liberty. You can give them a call at 665-6500, located just off Interstate 380 at the North Liberty exit. We can still call it that, exit 4. There's going to be a new exit coming soon. City Tractor, the presenting sponsor for Wednesday's edition of the show. We appreciate them having been on board with us for the last couple weeks. Plenty to get to today, as one may imagine. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, coming up with us at 4:30 tonight. It is a top 10 showdown this weekend for UNI. They head west to Ogden, Utah, to take on Weber State. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is with us tonight at 6:15. He will answer your fantasy football questions. We will take those as soon as you want to get them to us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. I can't promise that they won't be buried under an avalanche of texts about whatever topics may come up over the course of the next 3 hours, but
I'll write all of them down so I can remember the numbers of people who texted in. I promise you.
We have been trying to do a better job of servicing our listeners' fantasy football needs and keeping track, and sometimes things get lost, and my apologies for that. We also have an opportunity for you tonight at roughly 5:30, depending on how the conversation goes this evening, whether we need to step away from it sooner rather than later. But around 5:30 tonight, you're going to have an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road inside the 6 o'clock showdown. Actually, the 5 o'clock face-off tonight. 7 questions, 60 seconds, and if you answer more correctly than your opponent, you will be enjoying $30, which you can use at Mulligan's for a KGYM road trip. We will be back there next Thursday. Road trips brought to you by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Happy hour daily from 3 until 6 at Mulligan's. And who among us doesn't need a drink after the last 24 hours? Not even 24 hours.
I just need some sleep. Let's sleep this off. This is all a bad dream.
Sleep? And football. Actual football. There are games this weekend, but it seems more and more that football is secondary to some of these stories that have bubbled to the surface over the course of the last week, week and a half. And if you had asked me last night when we left the studio a little bit around 7 o'clock, if you would have asked me, hey, do you think we're going to be talking about something tomorrow more bizarre than what we've been discussing the last 2-3 days on the show tomorrow when we walk in here? You know what? My answer would have been, I don't see how that's possible. But here we are, and we are knee-deep in it, and I don't see a shovel. I don't see a shovel anywhere in sight. And it takes a lot to make me feel uncomfortable about talking about something. But this, judging by the visceral reaction from a number of the listeners to Scott and Mark's addressing of the Carson King situation, just the passion that's coming through on the text line, the texts to the gym class, I'm a little nervous here. I got to admit, I feel something at the bottom of my throat, and I'm not sure what part of me that is, but I'm coming into this a little tight today for a number of reasons, because the mob is out. And when the mob is out and everybody is seemingly united on one side, it's very difficult to even discuss an issue where you are addressing the other side. And that's what I found with Scott and Mark in how they handled that, is that even talking about the other side, you have people threatening to turn off the radio or do God knows what. If see, I was taught back in my days at the Daily Iowan that you always approach a story as if somebody somewhere is picking up that newspaper and reading about the subject for the very first time. That's why when you pick up a newspaper, even like the Cedar Rapids Gazette or the Des Moines Register, people are still picking it up, presumably. You'll see references to Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz. Most people would look at that and go, well, duh. But you approach it as, hey, somebody out there, they may have no clue who that person is. You got to tell them who they are. Carson King is the young man who appeared at College Game Day in Ames, September 14th. And he held up a sign that said he needed some money for some Busch Light. And he put his Venmo address at the bottom of the sign. And he thought, okay, maybe I get a couple $100 out of this, which would be absolutely crazy, but maybe I also get somebody to send me $30 so I can go buy a rack or two of Busch Light. And he starts getting hundreds of dollars, $5 here, $2 there. And we've seen this a lot. You see somebody that has a terrible medical malady or somebody dies unexpectedly and people will start a GoFundMe.
Right.
And you can raise an insane amount of money in a very short time because a lot of us will feel compelled to give a dollar or $5 or $10 or $50. And the next thing you know, you got hundreds of thousands of people doing this and whoa, the money adds up. So he gets to the point where he's got a couple thousand dollars and he says, you know what? I didn't do anything to earn this money. I'm going to donate it to a worthy cause. And he picks the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. And because corporations absolutely love to get free positive publicity, they metastasize themselves to Carson King. Busch, Anheuser-Busch, owned by InBev, AB, InBev, I can't remember the corporate amalgamation after the companies merged. The makers of Busch Light, we'll say InBev, Anheuser-Busch is what most people would know them as. They say, okay, we'll match. And then Venmo, which is the app, says, we'll match too. And suddenly over $1 million is raised for the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. And this is it's a feel-good story. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it turns out that the Des Moines Register, in doing a story on Carson King, pored through years' worth of old tweets and found a couple that are, quite frankly, unsettling, disturbing, racist in nature. I won't read them. I won't allude to them anything more than that. And in the process of figuring out what to do with these, they reached out to him. I think it sounds like they may have also reached out to Busch, because Busch was pulling the plug on associating with him well before the Register addressed the story. And the next thing you know, the entire state of Iowa, for the most part, is up in arms. And they're coming for the Des Moines Register. And it's not going to end well for the author of the story, and perhaps for some other people at the Register. And if that, I think that covers everything to this point.
You hit on most of the important points.
We are living in very strange times. And I don't really know what else to say other than that. And man, I've talked about some really difficult subjects on this program before. And this, because again, it was very clear last night. My wife and I were laying in bed, both of us trying to fall asleep, and neither one of us could look away. we were both on our phones, holding our phones, and just refreshing and watching the carnage in real time. What makes someone a public figure? I think I was joking with Mark Dukes, who left the studio here a couple minutes ago. This will shock no one, but I very rarely write in-depth notes on subjects that I'm addressing on the program. Most of what we do here and what I do is extemporaneous for the most part. I know I come in, I have an idea of what we're talking about and how I want to address it. I wrote down these questions because I want to make sure that I don't screw anything up here. And so I think there are four basic tenets that need to be addressed here. What makes someone a public figure? What level of good outweighs any bad? Why are we so quick to look past the genesis of this, which is the tweets themselves? Because that would make us uncomfortable. I answered my own question there. And is vigilante justice really justice? And very few of those questions that I just asked fit nicely within the confines of a sports talk radio program. Sorry, I'm not sorry. 319-366-1600. Let's start with what makes someone a public figure. If I go out to a gas station tonight, one of the big lottery drawings is Wednesday night, right? Can't remember whether it's Mega Millions or Powerball. But say I go to the gas station tonight and buy a ticket and I win. My numbers come up and I win $80 million. Does that make me a public figure as a lottery winner?
Not in my opinion, no.
See, the problem with that is technically I am a public figure because of this radio program. So let's just say I'm a generic individual. Generic individual works a 9-to-5 job that's not necessarily public. If I win the lottery, does that make me a public figure? And does that open me to scrutiny that I otherwise would not have expected to receive if I were working a 9-to-5 job?
In my opinion, no.
And so that's part of the issue here. What level of good outweighs the bad? Where are we willing to draw the line? Taking into account also that this young man was 16 years old when he tweeted the two tweets in question that were apparently references between he and his friends to Daniel Tosh's television show, which is far from being...
That was a long time ago.
Far from being politically correct. And by the way,
Is that show still on TV?
As somebody who watched their fair share of Comedy Central, I was a big fan of Daniel Tosh. I'm a big fan of Dave Chappelle. And you go back and look at Dave Chappelle's TV show, The Chappelle Show, and there were things that we all laughed at when that show was on. There's no way they fly today. Not in this culture. And this is just now another leg of this marathon that we're all running, trying to figure out what's acceptable and what's not, and where do we draw the line. And those are just the first two questions. The other questions on the back half here is a little murkier. The phone lines are open for you, and we will address this as long as it feels like we're doing some sort of good here by addressing it. If this just devolves into everybody wanting their pound of flesh and not making any progress on it, then we'll gladly move on. 319-366-1600. That is also the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Let's go to the phone lines and bring Dale in Marion on board. I think he wants to address question number one. What makes someone a public figure, Dale?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. It's going better for me than it is for a lot of other folks out there today.
Yeah. I think what makes you a public figure, it's part of what you do, but it's longevity. I don't consider him a public figure because his longevity would have ended when the fundraising ended. It would have went away. And that's why I find this so hard to believe that they dove in and released him. That it was, he wasn't going to matter in a matter of weeks. In regards to like you, or you guys with the radio hosts and stuff like that in the area, it's longevity. You're doing it all the time. You're doing radio spots and restaurants and stuff like that. That is longer lasting. And that's why I think you guys are more of a public figure than he would have been or is. I'll hang up.
All right, Dale.
I think that's a good start.
This is called dialogue, by the way, which in 2019, many of us have forgotten how to have a dialogue on something.
Talk to each other about uncomfortable topics and not scream and yell at each other.
As people are hammering out texts on their phone because they don't want to use the phone to actually talk and discuss things. It's a lot easier to just text.
I had a professor at Ball State University who tackled this very topic, and he
Did they ever find the Ball State butt slapper?
They never found the Ball State butt slapper. He was not a public figure, by the way, because according to this professor, in order to be considered a public figure, you need to sort of thrust yourself into the public light yourself. You have to put yourself out there. Like, we're putting ourselves out there on the radio every day. We understand that we are in the public light. Carson King, on the other hand, did not know that this type of attention was going to come from what he did.
But, and again, this is where we're wading into the murky waters here because people are just waiting to pounce on what I'm about to say. But he also understood that going into the confines of that particular program, people are looking to be spotted. They're looking to get on TV. They're looking to then, right, become part of the public eye. Don't get mad. I'm looking at you right now, the person that's got their phone or the person that's got their keyboard ready to go. I'm trying to have a dialogue here. When you walk into a building and it says, smile, you're on camera. You know that there's a surveillance camera there. You know what you're getting yourself into. There's cameras there at College Game Day. Nobody goes to Game Day hoping that their sign doesn't make it onto TV, right? Food for thought. 319-366-1600, and I don't know how hungry the mob is, but we'll go back to the phone lines. 366-1600. Who's been waiting the longest? Is it Zach? Zach in North Liberty. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I've got a couple of thoughts on Carson King and the thing from the Register. As far as a public figure, there's different levels of public figure. I would almost say that he went above and beyond the normal 9 to 5 because he went out to New York and he went on Fox News. He went on Good Morning America. He did the morning talk show circuit out there to promote it. So there's a little bit more than the normal person. But at the same time, I sit there and go, what was the Register's mean behind promoting this story of the tweet from 8 years ago?
Fair question.
Age, Todd.
Okay.
I watched the whole Clayton Bigsby, Dave Chappelle thing, probably close to 20 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
Talking about if Twitter would have existed, I may have tweeted something at that time about it. And I'm glad it didn't because that could have cost me my job now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, given the context of the time, I don't think what he said as a 16-year-old, a 16-year-old's got a different level of accountability. That's why they go through a different criminal justice system in a lot of cases. But also you have to look at the context of the time that he put the tweet out. And I want to know what the Register's means behind it was. There's not a good reason in my mind to do this. He's not a politician running for office. He's not even running a grassroots campaign to promote someone else's campaign. He's just trying to give money to a hospital and promote this fundraiser. I don't know of any book he was trying to do. I don't know of any agency he was trying to get, trying to make money on the side. Now, if he was, that's a different story. But as it is, I'd kind of like to know the means behind it because I saw a lot of people went through the Twitter account of the author of the story for the Des Moines Register. I'm going to give his name because we all know what people do to him. His Twitter account wasn't clean either.
No, it was not.
So
I'd like to know what his motivation was behind calling out essentially a 16-year-old. Because you're calling out a 16-year-old. Yes, he's 24 today,
right,
but he was 16 at the time.
Yep.
Why are you going to call out a kid for making these tweets 8 years ago? I'd like to know that motivation behind it to make more of an assessment against the Register. But I don't think there's a reason to hold this kid's feet to the fire at this time for something he said when he was 16.
Zach, extremely well-reasoned, extremely well put. We appreciate the phone call. Aaron Calvin is the author at the Register, and Zach made reference to his tweets, which are now protected because the minute that people got upset last night, they started doing to him what he did to Carson King, and they came across even more unsettling stuff. And that is question number four on my sheet here. Is vigilante justice really justice? Are we going to feel any better at the end of the day if, say, the reaction to the story costs someone their job?
I think some people will.
Some people will. And what does that say more about those people than it does the author? Is vigilante justice really justice?
I think that it's sort of people, the mirage of justice in 2019.
And what
That's
happens?
What people believe is justice, payback, an arm for an arm, a leg for a leg.
And what happens when the mob comes for you? It feels good to be on the side of 96.8% of an argument, right? It's really easy in this instance to come together. Iowa State fans, everybody's mad at the Register. They're unfollowing them on Facebook, and they're canceling their subscriptions. And they're probably going to cost this young man his job. And in the process, the mob brought up some other people who work at the Register and some of their past transgressions. Some of those people are friends of mine. And that part last night got very unsettling as well. And at what point do we just say, and it goes back to the conversation that we had about the band earlier in the week, and thank you to those of you who are still patient on the phone lines. We do have one open right now, 366-1600. The other lines are waiting. It goes back to accountability and being an adult. And I saw one person be an adult about this entire situation, and it was Carson King. Who, correct me if I'm wrong, is 25? Is that right? 16, 8 years, 24, 25 years old. This was brought to his attention before the story was published, before this came out. And rather than run and hide, rather than go get an attorney or go off the grid, he put a very well-worded statement together and put himself out in front of the cameras and did something that very few of us are capable of doing in today's culture. And that was, he was accountable for his past actions. And he made the case that while reprehensible, he had grown. And he pointed to a tweet from a couple years ago in which he spelled out his feelings on the situation. And you can clearly see growth there. And again, we're sorely lacking for people acting like adults here. And I thought Carson King, this is a guy who was anonymous 2 weeks ago. And then a beer company's putting his image on beer cans and he's flying across the country and he's on Good Morning America. And it's an amazing story. And he's a hero to a lot of people. He's a hero to hundreds, if not thousands, of people whose children pass through the doors of the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. That's the definition to a lot of people of a hero. That $1.1 million, which he has helped to raise, all because of a stupid sign, and he had no intention of this. When you come at a hero, that's where people very easily blur the line. And again, we'll revisit this conversation coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, because one of the things that's lost in all of this are the original tweets and an opportunity to have a discussion that would make everybody feel uncomfortable. And a friend of mine from high school, who shall remain nameless, and I would read her Facebook post here in the 4 o'clock hour, but I haven't got her permission to do so yet, so I've got to put it off until 5 o'clock. She actually addressed this much better than I did, and it's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, but I want to read what she wrote in the 5 o'clock hour tonight, so stick around for that. And if you really want to get outraged, and maybe cancel culture will come for me someday, someday soon. Let's go to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. Drew in Vinton. Drew, I really appreciate your patience there. I'm sorry it took so long to get to you. What's up?
Hey, listen, first of all, I really appreciate you guys talking about this the way that you are. But, you know, it's the thing that bothers me that I guess I want to talk about is social media in general being what everybody seems to love is such a cancer, for lack of a better word, when it comes down to it. You have, you know, like we talked about, how this guy who is trying to do something just amazingly decent, and so what's the first thing somebody tries to do? They try to find a way to bring him down through social media. If we were all to look in our past and things we've done and said, none of us would be able to do anything anymore. And I don't know a single person in my life that couldn't be judged by things they've done and said and they haven't learned from. I have three boys of my own that I try to raise properly. And the one thing I tell them all the time is to that you will make mistakes and you just learn from them. You know, live and learn. You make a mistake, don't do it again. You got to learn from it. And so where have we forgotten that? Where have we forgotten that you know, when you are a kid, you know, I'm not saying what he was put on there was appropriate. Obviously, it wasn't. But again, if we all look back, I know every one of us can look back and think, oh, well, I hope nobody ever remembers that, you know. And I look back, you know, one of the first things I remember regarding, it wasn't necessarily social media, but you look at the man in Cleveland, I believe it was, that saved the girls that were in the house. And he was a hero. And then what did they do? People started looking into his past. So you couldn't take a good story and somebody that saved these girls' lives and then turn it, you know, somebody out there has to bring in the bad. And this is the part that drives me nuts. I cannot stand it, you know, and I wish that the people that are doing this would be held accountable, which it sounds like may be happening in this situation.
Drew, great phone call. That addresses or brings to light question number two, which was what level of good outweighs the bad? I've been talking about watching the PBS documentary, Ken Burns' country music documentary, and I'm an episode behind. I still have to get caught up, but the episode that I just watched deals with one of my all-time favorite country music artists, and that's Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard served time in San Quentin. It's the very first time that he saw Johnny Cash in person was when Johnny Cash gave a concert at the prison. Merle Haggard, when he passed away, was a beloved country music Hall of Famer. I mean, so what level of good somebody does in their life, where is that in reference to outweighing the bad? And I think that's what Drew was getting at there, is that this is a great act. And again, as somebody who has dealt with, not to the extent that a lot of people do at the Children's Hospital, but as somebody who has personal dealings with the Children's Hospital, I get it. And this is a very delicate subject because he is a hero to a lot of men and women, and he's a hero to a lot of children who are going to be helped by this. And yet I still think there's a conversation there to be had over what started all of this. But that's a really uncomfortable conversation. We're just having an uncomfortable conversation right now. We'll save the really uncomfortable stuff further down the road. We do have time to get to John in Columbus Junction before we play for you, Gary Ryma. We'll get you a big board on the way here first. But John, you get the last word before we talk Panther football with Gary Ryma. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call as always, fellows. I appreciate it.
What I'm curious is, I'm just curious what the reporter was thinking whenever he started down this road. Was he just looking for proverbial dirt, just to, you know, say, oh yeah, this guy's doing a great thing, but oh yeah, by the way, look at this. And that's why I'm not a big fan of social media, because if you put it out there on the web, it's always on the web for anybody to dig up. And unfortunately, this reporter's kind of tarnished what this individual, Mr. King, has brought forth to the Stedman Children's Hospital. Like Drew said, you know, it's doing a lot of good, but all at the same time, you know, this guy's really, you know, kind of tarnished things and kind of gave it a black eye. And I just feel it's unfortunate that we as a society, we forget to forgive and forget. You know, now it's like, you know, well, what did you post on whatever 10 years ago, you know? And, you know, oh my gosh, you know, how could you say that, you know? And he was a kid. Kids make mistakes. They grow up. They learn from it. They mature. And they move on with their life. And in Mr. King's case, yeah, it may not have been the best of thing to tweet at the time, but, you know, he was 16. And now he's 24, and his little beer sign, you know, paid off dividends for the University of Iowa's Children's Hospital. And I think we can't lose focus of that, because in my opinion, that's the bigger picture of the whole ordeal. But with that being said, thanks as always for taking my call. I appreciate it.
John, appreciate the phone call. And as a 49ers fan, probably a really good time to let everybody know that George Kittle is going to be joining us at 6 o'clock on Friday. George Kittle, who was just caught on camera chugging beer at a WWE event. I want to briefly get to a text here, because I think it's important to address it before we get to Kyle and a big board. One of the texters here, and they're coming fast enough that I can't even write down the number, but the texter, and I don't want to say taking issue with, but the texter is pointing out that the Register wasn't trying to start a discussion. To me, the story is no longer about what's occurred. It's what can we do now that we've gone down the rabbit hole. So I'm the one who wants to have the discussion. And I think there are other people out there that want to have a discussion. So it's not about whether or not the Register was or was not trying to do some sort of good with this story, because I think most people feel that they were not. But it's now, what can we do given this opportunity? And again, that's why I want to get my friend's permission to read this well thought out and very well articulated Facebook post in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to give you a little bit of a palate cleanser here. We're going to talk UNI football with Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the Panthers, coming up in just a little bit. Before we do that, we're going to get you a big board update. Three times a day on the program, they're brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Two locations, their location on 420th Street and their interior showroom. Answers by Alexander on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
It was such a busy news day yesterday, I wasn't able to pass along everything from Kirk Ferentz's press conference. To this point, it had been able to be chalked up to situational football, but with the injuries in the Iowa secondary, Kirk Ferentz confirmed that moving forward, the reality is the team will be limited in regards to sub-packages it can use defensively, specifically that 4-2-5 cash look that became a staple of the defense last year with Amani Hooker and was expected to be featured this year with DJ Johnson may go by the wayside for this stretch. UNI is getting prepared for a big top 10 FCS matchup this weekend as the Panthers travel on Saturday to Weber State. UNI is ranked 7th in the FCS, Weber State 6th. So if you're clamoring to be able to watch that game, I've got some good news for you. It's going to be streamed online for free by Pluto TV 535 as well as WatchBigSky.com. Kickoff is set for 7 Central. Cedar Rapids Xavier graduate Mitch Keller made one of his better starts as a major leaguer last night against the Cubs, going 5 innings and striking out 7 while yielding just 1 run. He got a no decision, but his Pirates won 9-2, moving the Cubs to a 7-game losing streak. Their playoff hopes are all but dead. The Twins haven't clinched the AL Central just yet, but it would take an absolute collapse to keep them out of the postseason. Step one is not losing to the Tigers this evening, and you can listen when we join that game in progress after the show on 107.5 FM The North Gym.
If I'm the University of Iowa, if I'm Iowa State, Gary Barta, Jamie Pollard, I am sending the world's largest edible arrangement to Carson King. Thank you for taking us out of the headlines. 319-366-1600, or I guess technically to the Des Moines Register. They may need a pick-me-up. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, tells us what we can expect from the Weber State Wildcats this weekend. Monday's Todd Brown, or Wednesday's Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by City Tractor in North Liberty, a full-service outdoor equipment dealer with over six technicians on full-time staff there. Give them a call for all your outdoor power equipment needs, 665-6500. Back with more after this.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Eliminate and prevent mold with Concrobium Mold Control using no harmful chemicals. Use it for everything from water damage restoration to general mold prevention. Get a 32-ounce bottle for just $8 after sale price and 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through September 28th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
That was an awesome game.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
You okay, Coach?
Me? Yeah, sure.
Hey, you remember how I didn't play last year?
Yeah, we missed you.
Well, I didn't care about the game then. Didn't care about anything, really. Couldn't sleep, didn't eat much.
I know what that's like.
But this year's better. IowaCrisisChat.org made a big difference. Good listeners, you know?
That's really great.
Yeah, IowaCrisisChat.org. They can help anybody. Even coaches.
Thanks, kid.
This message from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Get ready, Marion. This is the gym's Scott Unash. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming to you live Friday at 3. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there, too.
Welcome back in the Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com. Wednesday editions of the program brought to you by City Tractor in North Liberty. It's that time we make our appointed rounds with the voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima. Oh, baby, I love this segment. Fresh off a 13-6 win over Idaho State, Panthers travel to Ogden, Utah this weekend to take on a top-10 ranked Weber State. Kind of an odd weekend to pick to have a purple out in Ogden, Gary.
Yeah, how about that? They're celebrating their 100th anniversary of football at Weber State, and their colors are purple and white, and they're having a purple out when the Purple Panthers come there. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we're going to have to spoil their big celebration, but it sounds like they saved this special occasion, special game for the Panthers coming out there, knowing it would be a really good, really important non-conference game. So looking forward to it, though. There's no doubt this is our toughest opponent that we would have faced since we played at Iowa State, you know, beating Southern Utah and Idaho State, a couple of other Big Sky teams. But Weber State, they've been really good in recent years, co-champs of the Big Sky and back-to-back champs and a FCS playoff team the last couple of years. They're feeling pretty good about where their program's at, and this is going to be a great MVFC versus Big Sky Challenge game to wrap up that whole deal.
Gary, let's go back to the Idaho State game. Naturally, with two powerful offenses, we thought a lot of points would be scored, and we got a defensive struggle.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think anybody thought that game was going to be 13-6 and only have one touchdown scored in the game, Alex. But it's just actually Idaho State came in offensively and played a little different than they had in some of their other regular season games. They were in some double tight end stuff. They didn't sling it all over the place. They didn't throw it as much as we thought. And part of that is Gunnar Amos was pressed into services as their starting quarterback. He was the backup to Matt Strzok, who got a concussion and injured in their game previously against Utah. So they went with Gunnar Amos, and he just isn't quite the throwing quarterback that the regular guy is. So I think they changed their game plan accordingly. And I tell you, the Panther defense was outstanding. I even if Strzok was running their offense, the way the Panther defense played on Saturday, I think we'd have been tough to score on. We got handed the short field a couple of times, and our guys rose up and held them to a field goal when it looked like it was going to be pretty tough to keep them out of the end zone. Just some big defensive plays. Ellerson Smith had a great game with 3 sacks, 3.5 tackles for a loss. He's really coming on. So I just thought the defense was outstanding, and they needed to be, Alex, because, I mean, let's face it, the offense struggled. They really sputtered the first quarter, 3 possessions, and all 3 go 3 and out. You win the toss, and Coach Farley says, we'll take the football to start. You want to mount a nice drive right away and set the tone, and instead you go 3 and out and couldn't get a first down in the first quarter. I mean, just really frustrating offensively. And, you know, if it wasn't for Will McElvain to come up with that great scramble and touchdown throw early in the fourth quarter, you know, that, who knows how that thing would have ended up. But did just enough to win, got the W. That was the main thing. Didn't get upset. And now preparing for a really tough FCS opponent this Saturday.
And you can hear that game right here on KGYM. Our FM frequencies carrying Gary Rima's call. That's who we're speaking with at the moment. Ellerson Smith, big game last weekend. 3 sacks, 9 tackles, pass breakup, a whole bunch of stat stuffers. What can you tell me about him? He's a guy we haven't really talked a whole lot about in the past.
Yeah, he's kind of just burst onto the scene about midway through the season last year, Todd. He broke into the lineup, was playing more. He's kind of an interesting story. The only school that offered him a football scholarship out of high school was the UNI Panthers. I mean, no other teams offered him. And he said he was about 195 pounds, 6'5", tall, slender guy. And they really brought him in as an athlete. They weren't sure how exactly they were going to use him. And then he bulked up, got himself in great shape, and they really brought him along as a great rush defensive end. He's been good against the run too, but man, he is so quick off the edge. He's just been so fun to watch. And I think there was a stat that came out that in his last 6 games, dating back to last season and the 3 so far this year, the last 3 of last year, the first 3 this year, he's somewhere around double-digit sacks in the last 3 games or last 6 games that he's played. So really impressive on what he's doing. But really, really cool story. A kid that wasn't highly recruited, wasn't even sure what position he would play in college in the Panthers. I think you and I's pretty good at that, finding guys, developing them, and then by the time they're a redshirt sophomore, junior, senior, you see them really burst onto the scene. You know, David Johnson's a huge testament to that, on a guy that didn't have a lot of offers out of Clinton, but he comes in and turns out to be a tremendous running back. But Ellerson Smith is a guy to watch, man. I'm telling you, if he stays healthy and keeps doing what he's doing, you got to give credit too to Seth Thomas on the other edge, the other defensive end, and then the 2 big defensive linemen. I call them the killer bees, Butcher and Brinkman, who really a lot of times they got to double team those guys to try and keep them off the quarterback or them from plugging up the running game. So that helped open it up a little bit for Ellerson. But it's a really good defensive line that Bryce Pop has put together again this year, and Ellerson Smith is leading the way.
You led me right to my next question, almost read my mind there. This defensive line, it just seems like they make play after play, not just the edge defenders, but the defensive tackles are constantly in the backfield. You've seen a lot of UNI football. Does this look like an elite-level UNI defensive line this season?
It sure feels like that, Alex. And I think when a lot of it is what Bryce Pop teaches these guys. I mean, he did it with guys like Carter Schultz and, you know, different guy, Ricky Neal. I mean, I could go right down the list when he's been our defensive line coach of guys he's developed into tremendous defensive linemen. So I do think you got to start with Coach Pop, but, you know, he can't go out there and make the plays. The guy's got to go out and execute. I think the other thing that's really been impressive and critical to the defensive success is the ability for this team to go from the 3-4 look to the 4-3 look right on the fly, and even maybe a a 4-2-5 when they bring in the nickelback and just kind of use the two linebacker set. A lot of teams might struggle with that. Some teams feel they've got to be, you know, the 3-4, or we're a 4-3 defense. That's what we are. But this group of guys has been really good at midway through that game. When the staff said, hey, this Idaho State team, they want to try and run it more than throw it, and they switched to the 4 down linemen. They really plugged up the running game, and then when they did want to throw, our 4 down linemen were putting tremendous pressure on the quarterback. So I just think that's the thing that's really been fun to watch, is how this team can adjust in-game adjustments. And with when you talk defense, a lot of it is on that front 4 or front 3, whatever they decide to go with.
Gary, let's talk a little bit about Weber State. They're 1-2 on the season. They're coming off a bye week, so they've had an extra week of preparation for you and I. Last time we saw them, they were playing Jay Norvell's Nevada squad pretty close in a 19-13 game. Panthers are going to have their hands full this weekend.
Yeah, we really are. This is a really good team and tough road test. We've had our struggles when we've traveled out west, whether it was to Montana or Eastern Washington or, you know, wherever. Southern Utah a couple of years ago beat us at their place. It's a tough road trip, and they've got a really, really good football team, guys. This is a team that, you know, the Big Sky's been ranked one of the top 3 conferences in all of FCS football in recent years, and this Weber State team's been on top of that conference standing the last couple of years, so that alone tells you how good they are. They're an interesting team that a lot of the Big Sky, Eastern Washington, and teams like that like to spread the field and really throw it all over the place. This team at times will be, they almost are a mirror image, it looks like, of what this UNI team likes to do, with at times going double tight ends and just 2 receivers in the out, and then at other times they'll go 2 receivers to both sides. So they're pretty multiple. They're really tough to defend that way. So it's interesting as I looked at what they've done in their first 3 games, and granted, 2 FBS opponents in San Diego State and Nevada, but they're only averaging running 57 plays per game. And that's, you know, you want to be up around at least 70, 75, 80. There's some teams that are running 85 plays per game. Against Nevada, they only ran 49 offensive plays. So, and they were still in that game, still had a chance to win it. So I just know we're in for a really tough game, guys. They play a good brand of football out there, and we talked about it right at the top. They're celebrating their 100th anniversary of football. It's like walking into somebody's homecoming game in a way, only this time they're celebrating their complete history of college football, and they're right now having as good a success at Weber State, you know, as they have in that 100-year program history.
Gary, you and I is coming off of a 13-6 win. Does this game have all the makings of another low possession, possibly low scoring, grinded out type affair?
Weber State's strength is their defense. So, Alex, when you look at this game on paper, what Weber State can do defensively and what they've shown in their first 3 games, what you and I has shown defensively, and we're still trying to work through some things offensively with the new redshirt freshman quarterback and haven't got the running game going. You and I's only averaging 69 yards per game on the ground, and that's an area that has to get better. How much better can it get? I don't know. I mean, that's something we're going to find out. So I think on paper it looks like it's another low-scoring defensive struggle, and every field goal and every point you can put on the board is going to be huge. And as we say that, I mean, going to that game last week with Idaho State, we thought we're in for maybe a bit of a shootout today. So you watch. It looks like it's going to be a defensive struggle, defensive battle, and it'll be 37-31, you know, white knuckle nail biter right down to the end of the game.
How much do you know about Ogden? We usually ask you about your familiarity with the road trips and places to eat. Have you been to Ogden recently?
You know what? I was through Ogden a year ago when our basketball team played at Utah State. We had to, our chartered flight had to land in Ogden, Utah at their airport, and then bus to Utah State, which was, you know, an hour or so away. So all I've done so far, Todd, is just have a pass through, a drive through Ogden. And we did, by the way, with the way we went, we did see the Weber State campus and their football stadium in an absolutely gorgeous setting out there with the mountains around it and stuff. So, you know what? I'm anxious to get out to Ogden and just see the sights a little bit on Friday. We're going to get out there early. We're flying out early Friday. We don't play until 7 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Mountain Time out there. So we're going to have some time to check out Ogden, Utah. Not sure what we're going to find, but if it's anything like some of the other cities we've been to, you know, we've been to Cedar City, Utah to take on Southern Utah. That's a beautiful area and really cool. So I'm looking forward to this first time ever stay in Ogden. And more importantly, we got to go win a big road football game. That's why we're on this trip. But it's always fun to get a chance to see some of the sights wherever we're at.
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a piece of advice here, Gary. Reach out to Steve Klauke. He's the play-by-play voice of Weber State. He also is the AAA voice of the Salt Lake Bees, the Angels affiliate. And throughout the minor league baseball season, he has a blog where he goes to all of the diners, drive-ins, and dives that Guy Fieri features. So if anybody can point you to a good place to eat in Ogden, it's the voice of the Weber State Wildcats, Steve Klauke.
Interesting you mentioned that. I just talked to him yesterday. I'm going to have him on my radio show Thursday, Todd, to preview Weber State football for us. And now I got something else to talk. I'll have to ask him, you know, when we come to Ogden, where do we go? What do we want to do? And when I had a phone conversation with him, he did mention about that he has been to Des Moines, Iowa to broadcast Salt Lake City against the Iowa Cubs. So, yeah, looking forward to meeting him. Sounds like a heck of a guy, and he can give us some pretty good insight to Ogden.
All right. We wish the Panthers luck. Again, we'll have that broadcast at 7 o'clock on our FM frequencies. You and I traveling to Weber State, a top 10 showdown this weekend. Thanks, Gary.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Didn't even get into basketball. Missouri Valley Media Days underway this week. We'll get to Ben Jacobson and the Panthers down the road. How about that? Dropping a little knowledge on Gary. He had no idea.
He had no idea. I can even drop a little more Weber State knowledge.
You know Weber State, and I know Steve Klauke.
Well, I'm sure you knew Damian Lillard went to Weber State.
Yes.
That's common knowledge. Did you know that Weber State has a 100% acceptance rate? They accept everybody who applies.
I would say the same thing about the University of Iowa. I felt they had to have pretty low standards when they took me back in 1998.
I'd say as well, but
100%. They take everybody.
They take everybody.
Nobody gets turned down.
Over 7,000 people applied, and over 7,000 people were accepted.
You learn something every day. That's what we strive to do here. We make great radio, and we inform the listeners. 319-366-1600, you and I, Weber State this weekend, Iowa State, Baylor, Iowa, and Middle Tennessee. We will pick two of those three games tomorrow on the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway at 3:45. We'll join Scott Unash and Mark Dukes from the gym class, and somebody's going to walk away with a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue. We thank them for their continued sponsorship of a long-running segment here on KGYM. It predates my arrival, and I've been here 8 or 9 years. 6 games against the spread. Whoever does the best job on the panel of picking games this week is going to hook a listener up with a $30 gift card. Can't beat that, right? That's tomorrow, 3:45 on the gym class with Scott and Mark. We'll take a quick time out. More of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way. Don't forget, join us at 6:15 tonight. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions. Get them to us now on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, and you go to the front of the line, 319-366-1600. Back after this.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Prepare your vehicle for the weather ahead during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts with great deals on batteries and accessories. Plus, save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter, just $28.99. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Can you feel it? Football season is upon us. Whether you're road tripping to the game or throwing around the pigskin with your pals, you want to make the most of it. So make the most of it with Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. It's the first motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. It's kind of like an offensive lineman for your engine. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
4:59, we welcome you back in. It's a quick in and out, a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by City Tractor in North Liberty. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, 5:30 to be exact, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back there a week from tomorrow for the next KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Fantasy football questions, we're taking them now. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is with us at 6:15 tonight. 366-1600, you can get those to us and get to the front of the line. I mentioned the Facebook post that a friend of mine made earlier today. I have her permission to read that, and I think it's going to sit well with some people and maybe not so much with others, but we'll get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
This just in, Yankees third baseman Gio Urshela not in the starting lineup tonight against the Rangers because of a bruised left hand. New York a game and a half back of Houston for the best record in the AL. NFL news, Jags corner Jalen Ramsey missed practice today due to a back issue, according to coach Doug Marrone. Source told ESPN's Adam Schefter it's unlikely Ramsey plays Sunday in Denver as he and the team navigate his ongoing trade request. Chargers holdout running back Melvin Gordon had planned to return to the team at some point in October, but he may move up his reporting date, explains Schefter.
The longer he sits out, the more he realizes that he'd like to get back. The Chargers then would have a fresh set of legs, time to get him ready for the season, somebody to work in with Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, another weapon to that offense for a team that could use it at this point in time.
ESPN's Josina Anderson reporting circumstances have changed and Gordon senses the best way to show his value is on the field. NBA Nets point guard Kyrie Irving day-to-day with a left side facial fracture, the result of an inadvertent elbow at the team's practice facility yesterday.
Coming up Thursday, it's the Packers and what's left of the Eagles on Thursday Night Football? Are we due for a big game from Carson Wentz, or will they just catch the ball from him? Plus, has the balance of power officially shifted to the players in college sports? Golden Wingo Thursday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by The Grill Works in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's the grilling tip of the week.
Brining is great because it breaks down the muscle in the meat so it stays juicy and moist while you're cooking. But how do you avoid the problem of floating food when you brine? Hi, I'm Lisa with The Grill Works. The answer is a brining bucket. We carry them in 22-quart and 8-quart sizes. And the unique locking plate insert keeps the food submerged for a more effective brining process. Stop and see our brining buckets and check out our variety of brines, too. The Grill Works, 763 8th Avenue in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? for $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee. So he went to ZipRecruiter, posted his job, and found the best person for the role in just a few days. How? ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
When you're juggling multiple things just to get the job done, sometimes equipment on your work site sits idle or will be used for something else, like your skid steer being used as a bird bath or your excavator becoming a back scratcher. But idle equipment costs you and your work site time and money, which is why United Rentals is combining equipment, data, safety, and expertise to help your work site perform better. To learn more, visit unitedrentals.com.
5:04, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, and online at kgymradio.com. Coming up in 25 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, depending on how the conversation goes here in hour number two, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We will give that away as part of tonight's 5 o'clock face-off. 7 questions, 60 seconds. You answer more questions correctly than your opponent, and you will be enjoying happy hour at Mulligan's daily from 3 until 6. And you can stretch that $30 by joining us next Thursday for the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com, because on Thursdays from 6 until close, Mulligan's offers half-price wings. 319-366-1600 is the number to pick up the phone and give us a call. You can also use that as the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will be answering fantasy football questions tonight coming up at 6:15. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. We are being presented today over the course of 3 hours by City Tractor in North Liberty. They've got over 40 full lines of outdoor power equipment in stock right now. You can check them out. They're located just off Interstate 380 in North Liberty, exit 4. Outdoor power equipment at your fingertips. Give them a call, 665-6500. Thank you very much for coming on board with us. They have been around since 2003, moved to North Liberty in 2010. And we appreciate their sponsorship here with us on Wednesday. Let's get back to the soup du jour, if you will. Carson King. If you missed the discussion in the 4 o'clock hour, and I was looking at the text line, and I tried my best to respond to everybody that shared their thoughts, because I think that's an important part of having a dialogue. And some people were saying that we weren't focusing on some things that they wanted us to focus on, and we were focusing too much on other things. Look, over the course of the first 25, 30 minutes of the show, I think we hit on just about everything. If we didn't spend a whole lot of time dwelling on one thing or the other, I'm not going to apologize for that. Yes, the author of the Des Moines Register story has his own troubled history of tweets, to the point where last night, these things always work out in a very specific order. The first thing is that the person tries to apologize. There was a tweet that said basically, "Yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm getting rid of these old tweets." And then as people kept coming and coming and coming, all of a sudden the little padlock appeared on the Twitter account. And the next thing you know, he probably had a rather uncomfortable meeting with his human resources folks at the Des Moines Register today. We are discussing, to reset for those of you who may just be joining the program, the Carson King phenomenon, if you will. The young man, emphasis on young man, who has helped raise over $1.1 million for the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital and did so rather innocuously and didn't even set out to do it by holding up a sign at ESPN's College Game Day asking for beer money. And what he got was thousands of dollars from complete strangers, and he decided, I'm not worthy of this money. Which, right there alone, makes him a unique individual, because I can't sit here and say at 25, if people gave me thousands of dollars and they were complete strangers and they didn't know what I was going to do with it, that I wouldn't have kept that money and had one heck of a good time in Las Vegas or Nashville or some of the other places where you can have a good time if you've got a lot of money. So he decided to do something truly altruistic here. And it's a feel-good story. And then he got milkshake ducked, which, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that a lot of our listeners maybe are not familiar. If you don't spend too much time on the internet, you're not too familiar with milkshake duck. Do you know what milkshake duck is? If I asked you to explain it in
simple terms
as possible.
I know what it means to get milkshake ducked. I don't know what the origin of the reference comes from, but I could explain to you what the act of getting milkshake ducked is. It's basically exactly what has happened to Carson King.
The milkshake duck phenomenon comes from a meme that popped up on the internet years ago about an adorable duck who drinks milkshakes. And everybody falls in love with the adorable duck, and they're talking about how cute he is. And look at the duck, he's drinking a milkshake. And then we regret to inform you that the duck that drinks milkshakes is a racist. And the meme has different versions, but that's the origin. And so when somebody says that you got milkshake ducked, that's what they're talking about here. And so a Des Moines Register reporter, in writing a feature story on this young man, Carson King, who again is a hero to many people, uncovered a couple tweets from when Carson was 16 years old that were in reference, he says, to Daniel Tosh's Comedy Central TV show, Tosh 2.0, and they were racist in nature, and he wanted to get out ahead of this last night and tried to address this the best way that he could, and I felt like he came off as very adult, very measured and sincere. And there is a tweet. Somebody was, I don't want to say mad, somebody was disappointed that we didn't read the tweet that he referenced in his statement from a couple years ago, where it very clearly shows that over the course of the last 8 years, he's grown and evolved in his worldview. And I find him to be sincere. I don't think this is somebody that had their oh crap moment and is trying desperately to spin and spin and spin. I think this is a young man who really puts off a very good positive aura in this entire story. And as such, it's very easy for people to be upset at the Des Moines Register. And to the point where in just uttering that sentence, I guarantee you a couple people out there, they think that we're defending the paper with a blanket, and we're not. Ethically, I can't sit here and say for certain that what the Register did or did not do, and whether or not this even would have made it into the article, and that's what the Register, it's a flimsy defense, but the Register is saying that it didn't necessarily intend to include these tweets, his Twitter history in the story. I don't buy that. Whether it's a journalist doing his job, his due diligence, or not. I think trying to apply journalistic standards from 50 years ago to 2019 is probably a fool's errand at this point in 2019. I think it is part of the process when you're writing about somebody to take a peek at what they've put out there. And the important thing is here to remember is publicly. Twitter and Facebook and any form of social media, unless your privacy settings are completely on lockdown, and even then, I could, or somebody who was unscrupulous could be friends with somebody who has a locked Twitter profile. Okay? I could screen grab it, and then I could tweet it out, and all of a sudden what you thought was private is seen by the whole world. So it's a good reminder that the era that we live in, even things that we think are private are not necessarily private. Now, there's a good chance that Carson King doesn't remember the original tweets, and he told the reporter from the Register, yeah, "Hey, man, I don't remember those, but I'm horrified by them." And we found out last night that the Register reporter, Aaron Calvin, tweeted some things that are as bad, most likely worse. And his defense was, wait for it, I don't remember tweeting those. I'm horrified. Funny how things work out, right? He is the subject now of vigilante justice because the mob is hoping that he loses his job. And that, to me, as I said last night on Twitter myself, at Todd Brawlkamp, is part of what's unsettling about this, is because doing this to the author is just as unsettling as what he did to Carson King, in my opinion. And we had a great dialogue, and the dialogue is still ongoing here in the 5 o'clock hour. You can pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. You can also use the text line. I, in the 4 o'clock hour, had my four questions that I read in trying to make sense of this entire story. I think we dealt with what makes someone a public figure. I think we handled what level of good outweighs the bad. I don't want to say handle. We addressed. Is vigilante justice really justice? That got addressed, but one that didn't, because I was waiting to get permission to read this and share this on the air, and I now have the author's permission. But a question that I wrote down earlier today is, why are we so quick to look past the genesis of this story? Because it would make us really uncomfortable. And the genesis is the tweets, the original tweets from Carson King. And again, there are going to be some people who listen to this and think that I'm attacking him or I'm blaming him. But I didn't author those tweets. The Register didn't author those tweets. A 16-year-old young man did 8 years ago. And so they're out there. And so we're not having any conversations without those tweets. And yet nobody is really addressing those tweets. Now, there were two things that I wanted to mention with this. One was a tweet that I saw last night, which I thought, a lot of times I see somebody out there and I think, I wish I could put things as succinctly as they do. And again, this goes back to PBS and the country music documentary and Kris Kristofferson. If you're familiar with him, he's one of the greatest songwriters of all time. He has a way with words that very few people do. And I want to get to the tweet because it's a fantastic tweet, because it really cuts to the core of all of this. But I want to read the Facebook post first. I said we live in cancel culture, and this is going to maybe not sit all that well with some people, because this does address question three, which is, why are we so quick to look past the origins of this story, the genesis? So I'm going to allow the author to remain anonymous. She's somebody that I went to high school with. She was a year younger than I am, does tremendous work in this world, does things to make the world a better place. I sit behind a microphone and talk about sports all day. I'm a little envious. I woke up to lots of passionate outrage this morning that reminded me of my own page on a daily basis, so I thought I would take this opportunity to back up a few steps. I understand people like feeling part of something bigger, and the energy that built from coming together made people who are normally divided across black and gold and red and yellow feel united. I don't ever want to discourage this type of unity, and this is where the feelings are stemming from. I don't want to criticize. I do want to encourage everyone to see this as the opportunity that it could have been. And this is where it's, I'll interject here, because this is where it's going to get a little uncomfortable for some people, because it tackles the origin, the subject of these original tweets. A young white adult man was asked to explain a public post made years earlier. He was given the chance to show accountability and apologize for his ignorance in perpetuating racism as a member of the patriarchal dominant culture. Stop rolling your eyes. I can hear it through the radio right now. Please stop. He appropriately responded. He took an opportunity to show remorse and use the shame he felt to acknowledge the pain it would have caused others and his ignorance for having it public and never feeling the need to go back and remove the post. We could be celebrating this moment, a time where a white male was capable of doing this work. What could have happened at all our dinner tables was a conversation about how our actions can hurt other people. That is, members of the dominant culture, we have a responsibility to watch our words and what we put out in the public eye, because we have power. We could have explained to our children that racism and misogyny are not inherent stages of development that youth go through, and use the reaction others had to this post as an example of the power people from the dominant culture hold and are not always able to recognize or even acknowledge. We could have asked them to imagine how they would have reacted if this would have been a post making fun of a disabled soldier or a child. Would this have been so forgivable? Why are we expected to, quote, get over and disregard derogatory comments about race? What does this tell us about the power we hold? These are the conversations we could have had this morning, and it's not too late to start wading into these conversations tonight. It isn't easy, but I couldn't help but notice that my friends of color had a very different reaction to this story. I am trying to do the work to step outside my own story, my own perspective, and better understand those around me. Thank you for reading. You don't need to agree. We just have to start understanding one another. I've written all my life. I wish I could write as well as she did, addressing that subject. And I guarantee you there are some people out there that are uncomfortable in hearing that, and they're going to talk about things like playing the race card. But it was one of the four questions that I thought I wanted to address today. Why are we so quick to look past the genesis of the entire story? And I wrote, I answered it. I said, because that would make us uncomfortable. Because now it's not talking about somebody giving money and being a great person. It's talking about a couple tweets, and they're not good tweets, and they were made by somebody who's 16, and then you start splitting hairs, and instead of having that conversation, which I think would do the world a lot of good, we're having a conversation about some of the other things that have sprung from this and focusing our anger, that mob mentality, on the newspaper. And what the newspaper did to hurt the fundraising efforts of the hospital. Do you see where I'm coming from? 319-366-1600. You don't have to agree with what my friend wrote, but she put it much better than I could have about the conversations, the uncomfortable ones that we could be having because of this. And instead, people want to take the low-hanging fruit, and they want to go grab pitchforks and torches and go after the newspaper and go after a writer that they view, in my opinion, correctly so, as a hypocrite.
I do see where she's coming from. The thing that I believe as far as why people are outraged about this and are sort of quick to look past it is we can have that discussion, and I think that we do need to have that discussion. But I think we need to have that discussion on a... This does not need to be the reason for having a 16-year-old kid quoting Tosh.0 doesn't need to be that example of where we come down on this topic. I think that everyone has skeletons in their closet, and a lot of people feel as though every time somebody gets a little bit of attention, they're going to be brought down. Something there's going to be somebody out there that finds information that is unsettling, that is not favorable, and they're going to be brought down. And I think that scares a lot of people, because everybody has problems. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's done or said something that they regret in the past. And I can venture to say that a lot of you out there have done or said something on a public forum that you have regretted in the past.
Mostly and anonymously.
Anonymously. But I'm sure that if you go back through your tweets or Facebook posts, you've used a foul word or two on there that if you look back on, you say, what in the world was I doing? That's why I think that this case in particular, it's like, what was the purpose of making an example out of him? I think that's what a lot of people are having trouble wrapping their minds around.
319-366-1600 is the number to reach out to us. Bush, by the way, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, however you want to refer to the beer conglomerate, they have, while they've severed their ties with Carson King, the individual, they have reiterated that they are still going to honor their pledge to match the funds that he raises through the end of the month, which I think was the original agreement. And again, the last number that I saw was $1.1 million when you add in the match from Venmo and from the beer company. And this is doing great work for the hospital. And that's what has people so upset about this. And I go back to that line in my friend's post there, because a lot of people are, and you mentioned it as well, that we've got a reference that this was quoting Tosh.0, that this was quoting a source yeah, material from a television show that's not politically correct. And I don't think things necessarily need to be politically correct in the realm of comedy. But what flew 40, 50 years ago ain't flying today. I love, absolutely love Richard Pryor and George Carlin. I think they're hilarious. And I'm not quite sure either one of those guys would get off the ground today because of the culture. I think Steve Carell has said in the past that he doesn't feel The Office, the TV show, The Office, would play in 2019 if it picked up and started this year. And that's how quickly sometimes things are outdated. And this whole situation fascinates me, but the line from my friend's piece that really stuck with me was, we're so quick to say, well, it was a 16-year-old kid and, you know, it's race. But when she says, now think about it as somebody insulting a soldier or a child, swap out race for something else that's a hot button issue. And now you sort of understand there. And Iowa is an extremely white place. I don't think I'm breaking any news there. But I did see somebody reply last night to an Iowa writer who was tweeting about the issue, and this person happened to be African American, and they did address, hey, how come we're not talking about the tweets that sort of started this? Because I've got strong feelings about those, and everybody seems to be glossing over them. And because again, it was low hanging fruit. It was easy to go after the newspaper and what the newspaper was doing. And so the point that my friend makes there, I thought was excellent in trying to see the world from other people's vantage points.
Yeah. I think that, yes. That,
and you know this very well. Right. You've talked about this on the air before, but your family.
Yeah, I talk to my brothers about this all the time. And sort of the thing that gets reiterated many times is I live in a very different place than my two of my brothers. I live in Iowa. My younger brother, who happens to be black, lives in St. Louis. My other brother, Gabe, lives in Memphis. So we're getting vantage points of what life is like in three completely different areas of the country. And I think that this works both ways. When you're having this discussion, you cannot jump down people's throats. You cannot overpower them, and you just can't. There can't be mudslinging both ways. That's why, Todd, I really like the way that you brought this topic up today, because it was almost like a therapist. It's like, all right, everybody, take a break, take a breath, I should say, breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, and let's talk instead of everybody screaming at each other. So, I do agree with what your friend said. A lot of it. I do think, though, on the other hand, if we vilify every single person that says something stupid when they're 16 on Twitter, then there's going to be no discussion, because that muddies the waters. That gives people on the other side saying, well, we can't do anything. Everything that we do is wrong. Everything that we do is wrong, according to you. And that's when this discussion turns into what it has become. So I think that there's sort of common ground on both sides that need to be had. And it starts with the way that you started this show, Todd. Everybody relax. Let's have some dialogue, because that is just something that gets so lost in 2019. Any type of calm dialogue where there may be any type of disagreement.
And because we do live in cancel culture,
right,
I'm worried about the last 20 minutes, because I do also get the feedback when people hear Dan Le Batard say something on ESPN, which we carry, that they don't agree with. When he's not sticking to sports, I think he's doing his best work, and people disagree with that. The other thing I wanted to read was a tweet that I saw last night from somebody who follows me on Twitter, and the tweet is, these two things can and are... There's a typo here, so I'm going to try to edit it. These two things can both be true simultaneously. One, Carson King has done a fantastic job of raising over $1 million for the UI Children's Hospital. And two, it is very, very easy not to post racist stuff on social media, no matter what age you are. And the replies immediately were not kind to that. And I read that and I thought, bullseye. You can have one and you can also have two, and you can acknowledge that both are accurate, that what he did is fantastic. And it's also very easy to, my hands are hovering over my keyboard right now. I'm not typing something racist and hitting the tweet button. And where do we draw the line? 16, 18, 21. What's an acceptable thing to put out there? What isn't? We all have different worldviews. Now I've got people chiming in on their thoughts about Dan Le Batard on the text line.
In my opinion, is not an idiot. He is actually one of the most intelligent people when it comes to these types of topics, and brings the most thoughtful dialogue that you could possibly bring to these issues.
It's 2019. We don't want intelligence. We want to sit on the couch and watch Dancing with the Stars and The Real Housewives of Orange County and whatever else gets put into the food processor of television and shoved down our eyeballs every night. I mean, maybe that's an oversimplification. 531, we certainly appreciate the dialogue that we've been able to have today, because the people that we've heard from, both on the text line and on the phones, have been very well thought out, very well reasoned in their comments. And you don't have to agree with me, and I don't have to agree with you, but how rare is it in 2019 where we have a dialogue about anything? We don't have dialogue. We don't have dialogues anymore, especially in this medium. The sports talk radio is just people screaming into a microphone to get a reaction. And I don't want to take credit for doing anything big today because I don't think this is big. But I'm not trying to get a reaction. I'm trying to get a conversation going. And if maybe one person out there stops and thinks, you know what? When I was racing for the pitchfork and the torch last night, maybe my time would have been spent better contemplating some other aspects of this story. And I want to be very clear about this. What Carson King did was special. And I think I said that. I said it when I was 25. I know what I would have done with $5,000 from a stranger, $10,000 from a group of strangers.
The way that he's conducted himself in the public light the last, what has it been now, 11 days?
Comes off.
Has been very special.
Very adult. And again, we've had two stories, both of them confined to the sports realm, but not necessarily sports stories themselves this week. We've had what happened with the Iowa band in Ames a couple weeks ago, and we had Carson King raising money for the UI Children's Hospital. And in both of those instances, a lot of people have looked awful, but the band kids come off looking like adults for the most part, and Carson King comes off looking like an adult. And
do you think that story at all contributed to the maliciousness, and not maliciousness, but the anger in which people reacted to this? Because the last 11 days, all we have been talking about has just been this bizarre story that makes no sense, that makes everybody look bad, including the athletic directors, including the state of Iowa and fans of Iowa State and fans that went to the Cy-Hawk game and the canceling of the rivalry. And there was this one good thing that came from it. There was this one good story that was hanging out there as, I think, a big distraction for a lot of people. And it was Carson King. Do you think that contributes to it?
Absolutely. I think people were desperate to latch on to something to make them feel good. And nothing felt better for a lot of people last night than to attack the author of the story. And I'm not defending. I don't even know that individual. I barely remember his name. I had to write it down and put it in front of me. It's Aaron Calvin. I'm not defending that individual, but again, in the 4 o'clock hour, when I asked, is vigilante justice really justice? If you cost somebody their job because you don't agree with them, does that make you feel any better? Does it put the genie back into the bottle? Or does it just cause a bunch of other problems? And my immediate thought was, holy cow, what if the public reaction, the public outcry over something like this is so bad to the point where somebody feels so bad about, oh my God, I ruined this and I hurt this guy, and they go and they hurt themselves. I might be the only person in America who thought that last night, where my concern was, holy cow, I hope this doesn't end poorly for anybody involved. But the mob got its justice. And in 2019, and in the times that we live in, it's what it's about for a lot of people. And I really do appreciate those of you who have tolerated what really isn't a sports story, but it exists in the realm of the sports world. 319-366-1600, and I will try my darndest tonight, Chris, if you're listening, I am cleaning up my language, to reply personally to all of the texts coming in on the text line, because I do think that that's important part of the dialogue. Way behind. We got to get caught up. My apologies to everybody here involved. Kyle's been waiting patiently. He's got can we do an abbreviated big board here so we can get caught up? Maybe a little bit of self-editing here, which at the Des Moines Register exercise this last night, probably would have saved a lot of people some headaches today. But three times a day on the program, we bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
It was such a busy news day yesterday. I wasn't able to pass along everything that Kirk Ferentz said at his press conference yesterday. He did confirm that while it's been chalked up to injuries so far, he said the reality is going to be that 4-2-5 cash look is not going to be used as much as we thought it might be this season. UNI is getting prepared for a big top 10 FCS matchup this weekend as they face 6th-ranked Weber State, and you can watch that game It'll stream online on Pluto TV 535 as well as on watchbigsky.com. Kickoff's going to be for 7 Central. Cedar Rapids Xavier graduate Mitch Keller made a start last night against the Cubs, and it was one of his better starts. He went 5 innings, striking out 7, yielding just 1 run. And the Twins haven't clinched the AL Central just yet, but it would take an absolute collapse to keep them out of the postseason. Step 1's not losing to the Tigers this evening, and we'll carry that game after the show on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Bingo. There we go. Now, Kyle's going to run to the other side of the glass because he's going to have to take 2 phone calls right now. 319-366-1600. And we'll take callers number 1 and 2 for the 5 o'clock face-off tonight. 7 questions, 60 seconds. You answer more correctly than your opponent, you're going to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back there next week for a KGYM road trip. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit. But we do need 2 callers, 366-1600. Somebody's going to win $30 to Mulligan's after this.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
When you're juggling multiple things just to get the job done, sometimes equipment on your work site sits idle or will be used for something else, like your skid steer being used as a bird bath or your excavator becoming a back scratcher. But idle equipment costs you and your work site time and money, which is why United Rentals is combining equipment, data, safety, and expertise to help your work site perform better. To learn more, visit unitedrentals.com.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I like their reputation for taking care of customers before and after the sale.
Toyota of Iowa City always gives me a great deal.
Toyota of Iowa City, we make it easy.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
Toyota of Iowa City had exactly what I was looking for on their lot.
Well, they made the whole buying process easy and surprisingly fast.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
Welcome back in 542, the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. Keep the texts coming on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And don't forget, you can also vote in our poll question today at kgymradio.com. It has to do with this very subject, which we've been addressing off and on for the better part of the last 2 hours. A poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Did the Des Moines Register handle its profile of Carson King appropriately? That's how the question today is phrased. And again, a big thank you to Emil's for its continued sponsorship of the poll question. We have Jim in Shelbsburg. He is going to wait patiently because he is going to be answering the questions Alex wrote for me to read. Rob in Cedar Rapids is on Alex's team, and Alex always gets to ask Rob if he would like to go first or second, and that's the point where we're at right now. So do your thing, gentlemen.
What do you think, Rob?
Let's go second. All
right. Okay, so Jim, I've got 7 questions. You've got 60 seconds. You've been with us before. You know how all of this works. So when you're ready, I will read the first question.
Let's do it.
Which top 10 FCS team does you and I play Saturday?
Weber State.
Correct. Which two Big Ten teams are in the top 10 of both the AP and coaches polls this week?
Ohio State and Wisconsin.
Correct. Which former NFL coach and current ESPN commentator called Baker Mayfield, quote, overrated?
Pass.
Which former college coach said not going to happen when asked about the rumors of him coaching at Michigan next season?
Pass again.
What high-profile NFL running back is reportedly nearing the end of his holdout?
Melvin Gordon.
Yes. Who does Iowa kickoff resume, that is, Big Ten play with a week from Saturday?
Michigan.
Correct. Which two group of five powers agreed to a non-conference series beginning in 2021 this week? Group of five.
Oh, SEC and Pac-12.
Nope. Well, we got 4, so that's a pretty good starting point. So, Jim, hang on just in case you are victorious tonight. Rob, same deal with Alex. I'll let you guys do your thing. And if we have a tie, we will go over the tie-breaking procedures.
Rob, you know the rules. 7 questions, 60 seconds. Don't know the answer, say pass. We'll come back to it. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, here we go. What Tennessee city is home of the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee?
Memphis.
How many innings did Arizona and St. Louis need to decide Tuesday's game?
15.
Wayne Gallman was a popular fantasy pickup this week. Who is he replacing on the field?
Saquon Barkley.
How many points did Iowa State score in its win over ULM on Saturday?
72.
What Big Ten city is hosting ESPN's College Game Day this weekend?
Columbus.
Rashear Bolton is eligible to play for Iowa State this winter. What Big Ten school did he join the Cyclones from?
Pass.
What number is at the end of Carson King's Venmo account?
0.
Rashear Bolton is eligible to play for Iowa State. Where did he go to school in the Big Ten last year?
We ran out of time on that. I've got 4-2. Is that what you had?
Correct.
Pretty good showdown, face-off, all things considered. Rob, we appreciate you playing tonight. And Jim, congratulations. We will put you on hold. And Kyle is going to get you the $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Again, we will be back at Mulligan's in 8 days. So the same amount of time we've been talking about the Iowa-Iowa State band fiasco, right? It's actually been longer than that. Mulligan's, located at 1060 Old Marion Road. Happy hour daily from 3 until 6. And on Thursdays, half-price wings from 6 until close. Rex Ryan called Baker Mayfield overrated. I got to admit, as a fantasy football owner, I bought into the hype. Now I'm... That's going to be my question for Tristan tonight. Is there anybody out there that I pull the trigger on dumping Baker Mayfield for at this point, or do I just ride out the storm? You could have taken a good guess at this one with Michigan being involved, former college coach saying not going to happen. Urban Meyer, a lot of speculation, USC, any high-profile job opening, but the former Ohio State coach says you're not going to see him in Ann Arbor. And the two group of five powers that agreed to a non-conference series in 2021.
Before you answer this, what two group of five powers? If I say group of five powers, who am I referring to?
You're referring to teams that have probably been in the AP top 25 quite often over the last decade. And I think just an inference to be made there, UCF, and then who's the sort of the original gangster, the OG? Boise State. They're the one who blew up the BCS in the first place. UCF and Boise State are going to get together. And
I love that.
We've predicted this for a really long time, I think dating back to probably when Tyler was here and you were our producer. But the group of five, they've got to sort of take things into their own hands. And if they're not going to get home and homes with the power fives, they're going to have to play one another. And it's a game of chicken, sort of, because somebody's gonna lose. Somebody's gonna have to flinch. Somebody's gonna have a loss. You can't end in a tie. But UCF and Boise State are both willing to take that gamble that they can come out on top, not have a non-conference loss, and that will position themselves in the college football playoff poll.
What Tennessee city is home to Middle Tennessee? This would be it's somewhat of a suburb of Nashville, pretty close, a half hour from Nashville or so.
Yeah, I would say about half an hour to 35 minutes. I've actually been there. I've passed through.
Murfreesboro. That pesky R after, yeah.
Home of the F. Home of bottles and cans, if you've ever watched Bar Rescue with John Taffer.
How many innings did Arizona and St. Louis need to decide last night's game? 19 innings.
I tried to stay awake for all of it.
What Big Ten city is hosting ESPN's College Game Day this weekend? Lincoln, Nebraska.
He had the right opponent. He had the opponent. He said
they're
Columbus.
They're playing Ohio State, yeah.
They are in Lincoln.
Rashear Bolton, eligible to play for Iowa State. What Big Ten school did he join the Cyclones from? Penn State. And the number at the end of Carson King's Venmo account? 25.
Yeah. Yes, there are 24 others out there with the same name that are all hoping the Des Moines Register doesn't come for them today.
I'm guessing there are a few Carson Kings out there.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 is the Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line. We got some catching up to do, but before we take a timeout, we do want to let you know that we have three people in line so far for fantasy football questions with Tristan Cockcroft. 1280, 3794, and 1886. You guys are 1, 2, 3. If you would like to be number 4, you can text your question for Tristan now, 366-1600. We will get to Tristan coming up at 6:15 tonight. Quick timeout. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM, after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
It's that blissful time of year yet again. A time for uncontainable elation everywhere you look. And I'm not just talking about summertime. I mean time for the Honda Summer Spectacular event, where well-qualified buyers can get 1.9% APR on select 2019 Honda Accord models. Named America's best midsize sedan by Car and Driver. Hurry into your local Honda dealer.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
See dealer for financing details. Excludes hybrid models. Car and Driver, January 2019.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details and the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Tired of wearing the same 5 shirts every week? We can help. Stitch Fix is a personal styling service that matches you with your own stylist. Someone who listens to what works for you and delivers clothes right to your door. So you take the hassle out of shopping and find new styles that leave you feeling great. It starts with a simple profile you create in just minutes. Explore different styles and leave notes for your stylist about what you like. For a small $20 styling fee, your clothes are hand-selected for you based on your profile and then delivered to you so you can try them on in the comfort of your own home. Pay only for what you keep and send everything else back. Plus, the styling fee is applied to what you keep and shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. With Stitch Fix, you'll get access to great looks ranging from refined to rugged, and everything is hand-selected to fit your physique and your budget. Discover the stylist and styles that work for you at StitchFix.com. Personal styling for men, women, and kids. StitchFix.com. Personal styling for everybody.
5:54, we welcome you back in. It has been a very unique program today, certainly. We want to thank our Wednesday presenting sponsor, City Tractor of North Liberty. They have been in the corridor since 2003, in North Liberty since 2010. And if you're shopping for some outdoor power equipment, why not keep that dollar here locally in the corridor? You can give them a call, 665-6500. They're just off the fourth exit on Interstate 380, currently the only exit to North Liberty. I lived there for many, many years, and it was always a pain to get in and out, and we moved before things really, truly exploded. I feel like the last 5 years after we've left, North Liberty is just a completely different place. They're going to have a new exit in between Coralville and North Liberty. It's going to be a game changer, but until then, when we say the North Liberty exit, we still mean exit 4. A big thank you to City Tractor for being our presenting sponsor. Alex, not to squeeze in some baseball discussion here, but 19 innings from the Cardinals last night, losing to the Diamondbacks 3-2. The Brewers refuse to lose at this point. It's not wrapped up.
No, it's not.
It's not wrapped up that the Cardinals are going to win the NL Central at this point. It is wrapped
They're
up.
They're in the playoffs.
I could tell you who's not going to win. Oh, man. Mitch Keller, too bad he had a no decision last night. He pitched really well, but the Cubs, they're no-showing. I mean, there's another George Jones reference for you. The Cubs are in no-show.
You think they're packing it in at this point?
Joe Maddon's a lame duck. You got guys that are the walking wounded.
Yeah, their best players are hurt.
I almost would at this point.
Is Anthony Rizzo playing?
He's playing. Chris Bryant wants to play. Javier Baez was taking ground balls and playing catch the other day. Me? I would pack it in. But that's the difference between me and an elite athlete. They still want to go out there. They still want to give it their best. Cardinals and Brewers, it's going to be fun.
It will.
Down the stretch, we'll
talk.
Three
games for the Cubs to play. Spoiler. Look at that.
There you go, I guess. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Jack Dom, Mount Mercy's baseball coach, joins us on Friday at 5:30. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll let you know what's in store in the 6 o'clock hour when we return after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Because the only way to respond to somebody tweeting you to tell you that you've had an excellent conversation on your program tonight is to use a GIF of Honey Boo Boo. That's 2019 at its core right there. Welcome back in as we wind down the 5 o'clock hour. We invite you to stick with us. The 6 o'clock hour kicks off at 6:15 tonight. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answers your fantasy football questions. And we've got about, I think, 7 or 8 at this point. So if you want to get them answered and asked, get them to us now. 319-366-1600. Sounds like the Melvin Gordon holdout is going to end.
It's over. He's reporting tomorrow.
Okay.
According to Ian Rappaport.
We will start there. We will start there with Tristan, because trust me, he's owned in your league. Somebody's sitting on him, and we'll find out what that means for the rest of the Chargers backfield and how soon you can trust Melvin Gordon in your fantasy football lineup. And yeah, I'm going to waste some of Tristan's time with a question of my own. Is it time to bail on Baker Mayfield? I haven't even looked to see who's available, but
is Josh Allen available?
Matthew Berry, Tristan's colleague at ESPN, Baker Mayfield, top 5 quarterback coming into the season. Thought I had myself a steal. I got something on my hands right now. A little soap and water may wash it off. 366-1600. That's the end of the 5 o'clock hour. The 6 o'clock hour again, kicking off with Tristan Cockcroft. Before that, WagerWise is on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. Another injury for the Yankees as they look to stay in the running for the top spot in the American League. Third baseman Gio Urshela not in the starting lineup today against the Rangers because of a bruised hand. New York's a game and a half back of Houston for first overall in the AL. MLB and the MLBPA extending the administrative leave for Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán through the end of the World Series. He was placed on the leave last week due to a pending investigation into a potential violation of the league's domestic violence policy. NFL, Jags cornerback Jalen Ramsey was at the team's facility today but did not practice because of a back issue, according to Coach Doug Marone. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports it is unlikely Ramsey plays Sunday at Denver as he and the Jags navigate his ongoing trade request. Even if Ramsey's tenure in Jacksonville lasts longer than he'd prefer, he will not act out and jeopardize his trade value, says ESPN's Ryan Clark.
I expect Jalen Ramsey to be in the building. I expect Jalen Ramsey to go to work because that's the one thing he wants to make sure, whether it's a team that's looking to trade for him or just the Jacksonville Jaguars. He wants that organization to know that he is here to play football and that football matters to him.
Ryan Clark on Golic and Wingo. Ramsey missed practice on Monday because of illness. Chargers holdout running back Melvin Gordon may move up his reporting date. Sources told Schefter that Gordon had planned to return to the team sometime in October, but ESPN's Josina Anderson reports circumstances have changed and Gordon senses the best way to show his value is on the field.
It's the final weekend of baseball's regular season, and the Cubs will spend it in St. Louis facing the Cardinals. Friday at 7:30 Eastern, Saturday at 6:30 Eastern, and Sunday at 2:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
KGYM is here to cover everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. This is WagerWise, sponsored by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
Another edition of WagerWise here on KGYM, welcoming aboard Jay Rude, the Senior Risk Manager at BetWorks, and Jake Reed from the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, Iowa. And let's go ahead and start. Jake, the Hawkeyes at home again this week. It's an early kickoff, and I imagine you'll once again have a pretty big crowd there inside the Elite Sportsbook at Riverside for a Hawkeye home game.
Now, we're anticipating, even this last weekend was an off weekend. We had a lot of people in there questioning about the Hawkeyes this week, and we plan on having a lot of business in there. We are also going down to the parking lot to give out and help people if they have any interest in learning how to sports bet. But we'll have those draft day. I'll be having their special brunch day menu this weekend, and we'll be ready to go for that game.
All right, Jay, what do we know about Middle Tennessee and Iowa? The Hawkeyes are a 24-point favorite at home. The total at the Elite Sportsbook currently at 53.5 points.
Yeah, so obviously right now, Iowa coming off big win, and they're going to be at home. We're seeing a lot of support for them at minus 24. The total of 53.5, they're betting it over a little bit, which is a little bit surprising because, the Iowa defense looks like it's one of the top defensive units in the nation right now. So, we expect to see a lot of support for Iowa in this particular matchup. Right now, ticket count is about 10-1 in favor of Iowa. All the parlays that people are building have the Iowa Hawkeyes on them. So this is going to be another big game for Elite Casinos from the standpoint that we're going to need Iowa. We're going to hope that Iowa wins, but maybe not cover the spread.
Interesting. Middle Tennessee 5-2 against the spread in its last 7 non-conference games. 4-1 against the spread its last 5 road games, and 4-1 against the spread in its last 5 games against Big Ten teams. So they've got a track record of going on the road and facing Big Ten teams and covering the spread here. So it's going to be interesting to see. 24 points is a lot of points.
Jay, what about this Iowa State matchup? Because you look at them, they bounced back from a devastating loss to Iowa, put up 72 points on Louisiana Monroe, and they have to go to Waco where they're a slight favorite, about 3 points against the Baylor Bears in what is a huge Big 12 matchup right out of the chute.
Yeah, I mean, really big. Purdy put up Heisman-esque type numbers last week, and I think a lot of people are going to be looking at him because he's squarely dropped on the radar for the Heisman watch. If he can follow that kind of performance up with another big performance here at Baylor, he's going to stay in the mix of that talk. But tough spot here for Iowa to go to. Just had a big win. They're feeling really good about themselves. Their offense looked like it was really clicking. Going into Baylor, though, the good news is it's going to be an afternoon game, so catch a little bit of break there. That it's probably a tougher spot to play in Baylor at night, but no slowing down the money coming in on Iowa State right now. It's about 15-1 on ticket count. It's way up there. It's about 60-1 on money right now. We're not even seeing any support for Baylor at home as a dog on the money line. And I'm really surprised. At 55.5, I thought we were going to see just a ton of over money come in, but really no one has touched this total as of yet. Especially with the history that people remember Baylor being a very high scoring team, I figured that our biggest decision on this game was going to be this needing the under in this game, and hopefully that Iowa State wants to come out and show that they're a versatile team and can maybe run the ball, control the clock, and get out of there with a nice win and a game that stays somewhere in the neighborhood of under 50.
Baylor just 3-8 against the spread in its last 11 home games in Waco. Iowa State 19-7-1 in its last 27 Big 12 games against the spread. Jake, we're always talking about Iowa fans checking out the Elite Sportsbook. What's your traffic like with Iowa State fans? I imagine you get quite a few Cyclone fans coming into bet as well.
Yeah, we get them from all sides of the sporting teams. Like I said, when we had the Cyhawks game, we back a couple weeks ago, we had both sides in there rooting for their team. So it was very interesting to see the atmosphere in there. So we got all spectrums of support that come into Sportsbook and watch their games.
Well, let's go ahead and stick with a Big Ten game. Nebraska at Ohio State is at Nebraska this weekend. College game day will be in Lincoln. The Huskers are getting 17.5 points, Jay. They struggled on the road last weekend against Illinois. A lot of people having a hard time figuring out Nebraska, but we know how much Cornhuskers fans like to back their team.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a couple of disappointing games for Nebraska coming up the Colorado game and then the struggle with the Illinois game. I'm sure Frost isn't too happy with those performances. And then they have, you know, just a monster of a game here on slate at home. We're seeing support for Ohio State in a ticket count range of about 8-1. The money, however, though, is fairly split. It's about 60-1 in favor of Ohio State, which leads me to believe that a lot of the Huskers that we've been seeing a lot of action to the Huskers over the last few weeks. I think they're going to stay on board. They're going to come back to the Huskers in this particular spot. We're seeing some really nice action on Nebraska to win outright at plus 550. And then, again, a very high total here, 67. So far, no one really bet this, come out and bet it significantly on a straight bet, but we are seeing all the parlays that are coming together. Generally, the parlay combination of Ohio State and over is the combination we're seeing at this point.
Jay, two opposite ends of the spectrum in this next Big Ten matchup. Wisconsin last week, a lot of people were on them. You saw the line movement move from them, I think, opening as a 5-point underdog all the way to a 3-point favorite against Michigan. They pound Michigan. They look like one of the best teams in the Big Ten. Northwestern, so many people thought they were smarter than the odds makers at plus 9.5, including myself, that Northwestern was going to keep it close against Michigan State. And they got pummeled pretty good. Now Northwestern travels on the road to take on Wisconsin.
Yeah, not a great task for Northwestern to try and figure out what happened and get healthy. You're right. I mean, that was one of the biggest bet games last week from a ticket count perspective and, you know, probably from a handle perspective was the Northwestern getting a ton of support against Michigan State. Michigan State actually came out, looks like they unloaded all the points for the month on that one game because they were struggling to put up anything earlier, which could be a turning point for Michigan State going forward. You know, maybe they found their stride on offense. But Northwestern, yeah, I mean, coming out, they had a game against UNLV where UNLV, you know, pressed them early and was hanging in there for the most part up until, you know, about the fourth quarter. But Wisconsin looks like a completely different animal. Their defense is just a monster. I think they'll probably, you know, their defense will lead the nation probably all the way through here. And this is a spot where, you know, Wisconsin could possibly want to name the score. But, 24 is a really big number in a conference rivalry. And, we're in the era where style points maybe don't matter as much as they used to. So there's a possibility that Wisconsin gets up and they want to see what some of their underclassmen can do and some of the, you know, guys off the bench to make sure that they stay healthy for some of the big games that Wisconsin's going to have coming up. So we'll see. I mean, right now money is about 10-1 in favor of Wisconsin. A couple people are taking a shot at 12-1 on Northwestern on the money line. And the 45.5 total, I think right now it's baffling a few people. They don't know exactly which way to go on that. We're seeing very little activity to that, but you know, if Wisconsin wants to come out and just, do a defensive exhibition, you can see that stay under. But if Wisconsin wants to come out and sort of show off their Heisman candidate and feed him the ball, you know, he could run for 200, 300 yards possibly. And, you know, they have a rich history of running back there. So we'll see what happens. It should be a great game.
The under 5-1 in the last six meetings between Northwestern and Wisconsin. We've got about 30 seconds. Let's hit one NFL game. Vikings at Chicago this weekend. The Bears, a 2.5-point favorite at home, Jay.
Yeah, 2.5-point favorite. The Bears coming off that victory on Monday night. You know, this game was bouncing between 2.5 and 3 around town. Where we opened 2.5, we're still sitting at 2.5. You know, this game, obviously, a lot of regional bias there. A lot of people are going to be backing the Bears. But we're seeing a good early money to Minnesota right now. Minnesota's come out with a really strong start. And I think they're going to, you know, right now it's about 3-1 in ticket count favor Minnesota. But I think that'll change as we get closer to game time.
All right. Let's make some money this week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Anytime. Good luck to everybody.
WagerWise on KGYM is a paid presentation brought to you by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Check them out at EliteSportsbook.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-285-4954. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-285-4954. 800-285-4954.
And we welcome you back in at 6:13. Those of you hoping to hear from Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions, stick with us. He's joining us momentarily, courtesy of Imon Communications. Tristan is on our program. Chris Liss of rotowire.com answers fantasy football questions every Wednesday on The Gym Class. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes coming your way daily from 3 until 4, presented by Third Base Brewery here in Cedar Rapids. At Third Base, you're practically home. And you can go back and listen to what Chris had to say in answer to some questions earlier today on the Gym Classes podcast. It's available for you at kgymradio.com. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we are packed for a Thursday show. Alex Halstead will be with us at 4:30 discussing Iowa State's trip to Baylor this weekend. Plus, we'll get the lowdown on the Bears from Baylor beat writer John Werner. He'll be with us at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And Joe Spears will tell us everything we could possibly want to know about Middle Tennessee. They're no longer Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Joe's going to be with us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. That's what's coming up on a Thursday edition of the show. It is Wednesday. We are brought to you by City Tractor in North Liberty, and we are taking your fantasy football questions for Tristan Cockcroft at the moment. You can follow him on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. And Tristan, we need to start tonight with the news of the hour. Melvin Gordon's holdout is over. What does this do for him? What does this do for the Chargers offense? And most importantly, what does this do for Melvin Gordon owners?
It creates a little bit of a headache, unfortunately. I mean, it's good news to get him back because there were a lot of people who were optimistic enough to draft him in the first four rounds in the preseason, despite the holdout. But the fact of the matter is that Austin Ekeler has been excellent in Gordon's place. And as we saw last year, when Gordon played the entire year, and this wasn't a question, Ekeler was still pretty heavily used. I believe his number of touches per game ranged somewhere between 8 and 10. So what I'm expecting is he's probably going to drop back to that level, but it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks before that fully happens. I would say that he's still going to be used primarily over the next at least two games. I think Gordon's going to be worked in a little bit slowly. Maybe Gordon gets some of the goal line work and just kind of change of pace stuff initially. But, you know, I think it's going to be a maddening running back by committee, and that's kind of frustrating, but I do think it's going to be better for the overall offense.
Tristan, let's get to the Hurtine and Stocker text line. 1288 is in a half point per reception league and needs a flex play between these four: Adrian Peterson, Philip Lindsay, Marquise Brown, or Allen Robinson.
All right. So I would go with Lindsey first, just because I feel he's given you enough production, and I think he's getting enough carries to be relevant here. I also would go with Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson is actually one of the more wide receivers. Not a top 10 guy, but still a very productive, low-end wide receiver, too.
1906 on the text line, Jacoby Brissett or Daniel Jones this week. Jones is playing a weak D, but Brissett has shown he's ready to be started.
Yeah, Brissett has, and I think that in most cases, when the matchup calls, Brissett is going to get my okay. It just so happens here that because of Daniel Jones's matchup and the ability he brings just running the football, we saw that the fact that he could read the defense and he ran it in for a touchdown late in the game, if you saw that one, which was the second score, that gives him a pretty elevated floor. And when you go up against a defense that's struggling the secondary to the extent that Washington has, I'm going to exploit that all day. Even without Saquon Barkley, it's Daniel Jones here.
37.94 is in a PPR league and needs to play two of the four. Peyton Barber, Darrell Williams, Kenyon Drake, or Duke Johnson?
Oh boy, can I talk myself into Kenyon Drake? I probably can here. I think it's wise to do that for one of them. The other one is a little bit tricky here, because of the situation with injuries for Kansas City, and that is that Damian Williams is still not fully cleared yet to return. I think he might this week, but we're still too early in the practice week to determine that. LeSean McCoy also has been on the injury report last week, is going to be again today, and I believe it was today he either had a limited practice or he missed it entirely. So there's a good chance that Darrell Williams steps up again as the Damian Williams fill-in, and if that's the case, he's going to get my okay. Otherwise, I'd say it's Duke Johnson.
1886, should I trade Philip Lindsay and Jared Cook for the guy who's going to be with us on Friday's program, George Kittle? I'm playing Kittle, the Kittle owner this week, and they are also Saquon owners, so they'll use Lindsay and Cook against me. We are both 2-1 in the same division, so Philip Lindsay and Jared Cook for George Kittle.
Wow, and first of all, I love to hear that he's going to be on there. You know, I'm a Kittle fan for fantasy. I think he's a very good wide receiver, and I do think that one thing that works in his favor here is that as Jimmy Garoppolo gets more reps and the season progresses, I think Kittle's numbers are going to tick upward. So I think he's a locked-in top three tight end. That's a significant upgrade on Cook. And I would say that Lindsay is about the appropriate amount you have to pay in order to upgrade. I would make that deal. I think it's a wise thing to do. I wish you could do it in a week after the bye gets behind him. That would be a great time to do it if you do it after Sunday. But if you got it this week, I still do it.
82-58 is in a standard scoring league and needs two of these four to start. Josh Gordon, Alshon Jeffrey, Tyrell Williams, and DeMarcus Robinson.
Okay, so Gordon's going to get my okay here. I think he's definitely worth playing. I am a little bit concerned about that matchup against Buffalo, yes, but I do think Tom Brady is going to get some things done. Jeffrey's a tough read. I think he is going to play in the short week, and the matchup is favorable enough. It's not great, but I think it's going to be favorable enough that he's going to need to do some things specifically. It's a worse one for Nelson Agholor. So I'll give Jeffrey my okay for the number two.
Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions now at 319-366-1600, 9476 in a two-quarterback league. Which quarterback, Mahomes, Prescott, or Jackson? I'm assuming in a two-quarterback league he means who do you sit?
Yeah, and that's just an abundance of riches. This is one case where I'd start shopping some of those names if I could. And I always advise just throw any of the names out there and see what the best offer you get for any of the three. Mahomes is a locked-in weekly play. I mean, I don't think we need to go any further than Mahomes is awesome. You don't sit him. It comes down to Prescott or Jackson. In this case, New Orleans defense, they have some pieces that are a little bit scary to me. But based on Prescott's strong passing performance so far, a good level of consistency over 3 weeks, like what I see on tape from him, and the fact that New Orleans defense has played pretty poorly against the pass, as they often do in September, I'm going to exploit that matchup. He gets my second starting spot.
8761 wants to know whether to start Carson Wentz or Phillip Rivers this week.
And this is a week where I'll say Rivers starts over Wentz, which doesn't feel like the norm. Most weeks I'm going to go the other direction, and I'm going to do it pretty clearly between these two. I think Rivers is a guy who belongs with probably a number 15 or so as his weekly ranking. This week, however,
He's facing Miami, and Miami's secondary has been pretty poor to this point. So Rivers is a clear top 10 quarterback. I have him eighth, as a matter of fact. Wentz facing Green Bay. That's a defense that's played very well against the pass so far. They're doing well in terms of the pass rush, and the secondary is playing well. I do not like Wentz's matchup, and I advise avoiding him if you can. This applies to anybody who has Wentz.
All right, need to start two in a non-PPR league. Ridley, Aguilar, Hardman, or Dorsett?
Ridley, Aguilar, Hardman, or Dorsett. Okay. Ridley, I would give a start here. I do think he's still worth your while. Tennessee's got some pieces in the secondary. It concerns me a little bit just because they played the they've been a little bit tough against opposing wide receivers, but I do think based on the upside and the fact that he was kind of annoyed about how he performed last year, I think he's definitely going to step up for this week. Dorsett kind of interests me here against Buffalo just because, Brady's got to spread the ball around to get stuff done. I'm having a hard time going there. Who was the third guy again? Could you give me that?
It was Ridley, Aguilar, Hardman, or Dorsett.
Hardman, I think, would get my... I'll play Hardman over Dorsett here.
8175 wants to know whether or not you would trade Zeke Elliott for Todd Gurley and Will Disley in a PPR league.
Not a chance. Not a chance. I'm concerned about Gurley's usage so far in the receiving game. It concerns me because the Rams might just simply be trying to manage his touches, but the way that he has been used through 3 weeks is of great concern to me. I feel like Elliott, who, the first couple of weeks, he's working himself back up to 100%. I think he's getting pretty close to that point. And I don't think there's any question that the Cowboys are not going to limit any of his workload. The only time they're going to do so is a situation like last week where they gain command of the game early and they don't need to use him. They can go to Pollard just to kind of finish off the game. I think this is a pretty noticeable downgrade at running back. And Will Disney's is just not enough of an upgrade. I love the matchup with Disley this week. I think he's got some upside, but no, I'd need something more.
22-28, two quarterback PPR league, pick two, Matt Ryan, Flacco, Allen, or Daniel Jones?
Ryan, Flacco, Allen, or Daniel Jones? So Flacco, I'm going to scratch from here. I think he's the one that doesn't belong. Ryan is going to start for me. As I said, the Tennessee secondary does concern me a little bit, but I trust Matt Ryan, especially in terms of the volume. So he's the first who's clear. Allen and Jones are close. I'm going to take Jones here just because of the matchups, nothing more than that. I do think that Allen is a little bit more interesting player most weeks, but Jones against Washington is a superior matchup to Allen versus New England.
All right, 1287. I said we would try to get to him. I think he just made the cut. Standard league, pick two of the following: Godwin, Shepard, Kirk, McLaurin, or Devontae Freeman. Got to pick two.
Okay, all right.
Standard.
So McLaurin definitely stood out to me. McLaurin faces the Giants. Janoris Jenkins has performed poorly, to say the least. Mike Evans showed it this past week. As a matter of fact, he got two of his touchdowns against Jenkins. And the rest of the Giants' secondary is just not strong enough to be of great concern to me. So he would definitely be the first one for me. I typically go to the running back for these situations in the flex. I'm going to go with Devontae Freeman, despite the fact that he hasn't looked all that great up to this stage. I do think that he'll bounce back here against Tennessee. There's been a middling defense against the run so far, so he'd be my second.
1169 wants to know, would you play Josh Allen over Carson Wentz this week, since you said Wentz was a non-play?
Yeah, and this is a tough one, too, because they're both facing poor matchups. New England is a tough matchup. Green Bay is a tough matchup. I do actually have Wentz ranked one spot ahead, so I'll give you this. If you need the safer pick, it's Allen. And one of the reasons for this, besides just the rushing ability, is that the Patriots did so last year with similar personnel that they did struggle to contain the mobile quarterbacks. So if you can't risk having a poor score here, Allen's going to be the okay. But again, I did rank Wentz one spot higher. I think there's greater upside.
0459 in a standard league wants to know which one to sit of these three: David Montgomery, Sony Michel, or Tony Pollard.
And I'd sit Pollard here just because I don't think there's going to be enough opportunity. I think of those three, he'll get the fewest touches. Pollard's a very good player, but playing behind Zeke Elliott, I just don't see the opportunity.
Your thoughts at this point on Baker Mayfield?
Not impressed by what I've seen, and more so from the deep ball, which he performed excellently with over the second half of last season. That is the part that really bothers me. The way I will defend him is this. He has faced a somewhat tricky schedule so far. A lot of individual players, defenders who have been performing well, especially this past one with the Rams. They've had a lot of guys playing very good against the pass. So I'm going to give him a break a little bit here. I think he leans towards a buy-low candidate, not a great, great one. If people are still treating him like a top-five potential quarterback and want that price, I'm not paying it. But I do think Mayfield has better weeks ahead.
Mason Rudolph or Jacoby Brissett, a possible upgrade over Mayfield?
No, I don't think either one would be. Rudolph's play has been a little bit uneven so far. Brissett has been interesting. I'm impressed by what he's done over 3 weeks, but I don't have them up quite at the level of Baker Mayfield yet.
And 0459, last one for this week. David Montgomery, Sony Michel, or Pollard? Standard league, need two, so sit one.
So Montgomery, let's just mention about the Minnesota matchup. It's a difficult one here, but he is still getting the majority of carries. So he's one. Michelle has been so maddening. I have so many shares of him, and boy, he frustrated me. I'm concerned about the Buffalo matchup, but I will tell you that so far the grades on that, they've also been middling right along. I think they're 14th so far against the run, taking the schedule out of the equation. So I'll give him the second option.
Do you think at any point that Tony Pollard, at least with the Dallas offense, they're going to take a look at using him maybe as more of a gimmicky, getting him some catches out of the backfield, that type of thing, because they know what they have and how much talent he gives them right away?
I think it's possible. I think they're going to use him when they want to try and give Elliott a break. But I don't think that's going to come all that often. I think that Dallas was just in the situation in order to do that more often than not over the first 3 weeks. I like him. I think he's a very underrated running back. I just don't see the path to great fantasy relevance behind Zeke Elliott. I just think he's a very clear must-have handcuff.
Tristan, we appreciate it as always. We send people to ESPN.com. What are they going to find under that fantasy football tab this week?
So I fully detail the Daniel Jones matchup and the matchups map tomorrow. So if you're looking for exactly what part I like about it and what the Giants will do while they're without Saquon Barkley, take a look at that.
All right. Give him a follow on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. As always, thank you so much, Tristan, and we'll see what problems present themselves for next week.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Good luck this week.
Tristan's appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. Imon also sponsoring the KGYM knockout pool. We still have over 130 active players in the knockout pool. Somebody's going to win $500 over the course of the current NFL season. Unfortunately, you can't jump into a knockout pool midstream. So if you did get in and you're still alive, kudos to you. Somebody's going to win $500 and then somebody will comb through your social media history. No, we're not going to do that. We promise. As long as you keep it anonymous, maybe we will as well. 319-366-1600. Kyle's with us again in the studio. Time for the third and final Big Board update. We got all the time in the world for this one, Kyle, so bring it on. Brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
It was such a busy news day yesterday, I wasn't able to pass along everything from Kirk Ferentz's press conference. To this point, it's been able to be chalked up to situational football, but with the injuries in the Iowa secondary, Kirk Ferentz confirmed that moving forward, the reality is that the team will be limited in regards to sub-packages it can use defensively, specifically that 4-2-5 cash look that became a staple of the defense last year with Amani Hooker and was expected to be featured this year with DJ Johnson may go by the wayside for the immediate future. UNI is getting prepared for a big top 10 FCS matchup this weekend as the number 6 Panthers travel on Saturday to Weber State, who's ranked Weber State's number 6, UNI's number 7, sorry about that. But if you were wanting to watch that game, I've got some good news for you. It's going to be streamed online for free by Pluto TV 535 as well as WatchBigSky.com. Kickoff is set for 7 Central. Cedar Rapids Xavier graduate Mitch Keller made one of his better starts as a major leaguer last night against the Cubs, going 5 innings and striking out 7 while yielding just 1 run. He got a no decision, but his Pirates won 9-2, moving the Cubs to a 7-game losing streak down the stretch. Their playoff hopes are all but dead. The Twins haven't clinched the AL Central just yet, but it would take an absolute collapse to keep them out of the postseason. Step one is not losing to the Tigers this evening, and you can listen when we join that game in progress after the show on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
The Cubs currently have a 1-0 lead on the Pirates at PNC Park right now. Not that that matters at this point. The real interest in the NL Central is that race between the Cardinals and the Brewers. The Cardinals and Brewers both winning today. I believe the Cardinals game is...
still going.
It's still going. Oh, the Diamondbacks are actually up.
They're up 9-7.
They're up 9-7.
Paul Goldschmidt at the plate representing the tying run.
And the Brewers have a 7-1 lead on the Reds at the moment.
That would be a game and a half back if they won, or...
I think it might be tighter than that. I don't have the standings directly in front of me, but...
Yeah, so they're 2.5 games back right now.
There you go. You mentioned top of the 9th inning in Arizona with Paul Goldschmidt at the plate. That's the free game of the day, by the way, at MLB.com if you want to tune in and follow along. And the Brewers and Reds 7-1, just the top of the 3rd inning with the Twins and Tigers underway at Comerica Park in Detroit. That is the game that we will be joining tonight in progress on 107.5 FM Detroit. Up 1-0 through 3.5 innings, and baseball season winding down. We will chat with Jack Dom on tomorrow's program. The Mount Mercy baseball coach is going to be with us, and that Cardinals game, by the way, has gone final. Diamondbacks win 9-7, so it's on the Brewers now to continue making things interesting. 6:33, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by the good folks at City Tractor in North Liberty. Back after this.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco, and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
That was an awesome game.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
You okay, Coach?
Me? Yeah, sure.
Hey, you remember how I didn't play last year?
Yeah, we missed you.
Well, I didn't care about the game then. Didn't care about anything, really. Couldn't sleep, didn't eat much.
I know what that's like.
But this year's better. IowaCrisisChat.org made a big difference. Good listeners, you know?
That's really great.
Yeah, IowaCrisisChat.org. They can help anybody. Even coaches.
Thanks, kid.
This message from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Feel House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Feel House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Get ready, Marion. This is the gym's Scott Unash. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming to you live Friday at 3. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
6:35, we welcome you back in. It is Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Has to do with your feelings on the Des Moines Register's treatment of Carson King. Emil's Hideaway also sponsors the Pick Six, which is coming your way tomorrow as part of the gym class. The panel will convene at 3:45, and somebody's going to walk away with a $30 gift card to Emil's as long as they hitch their wagon to the most successful prognosticator this week. And I don't know about you, not to let any of the air out of tomorrow's balloon or not, 24 points to me is a tough call with Iowa and Middle Tennessee. We heard during the paid presentation, wager-wise, at the top of the 6 o'clock hour, Jay Rood mentioned that the Elite Sportsbook will be rooting for Iowa to win the game, but they may not be rooting for Iowa to cover at this point because they've got a heavy liability on Iowa minus 24.
I noticed that.
I chatted with a source.
A source?
In Tennessee. Who tells me that he has a feeling this is going to be about a 21-point game, and the 21 points will be a backdoor cover. That Iowa will be ahead late in the game, and there will be a touchdown scored or something will happen in favor of the Blue Raiders, which will allow them to eke out an against-the-spread victory, which, as we all know, doesn't count for anything in real life in the standings. A loss is a loss. Iowa, 5-2 against the spread in its last seven non-conference games, but a couple trends for Middle Tennessee in that matchup. 4-1 against the spread in their last five road games, and 4-1 against the spread in their last five games against the Big Ten. Couple interesting trends with both teams point toward taking the over of 53.5 points at this point. That's going to be one of the games that we'll pick on the pick six. We're also going to be taking a look at ISU and Baylor. I was blown away when Jay said that they're at 15-1 on tickets right now in favor of Iowa State and 16-1 money on Iowa State. They stand to take a fairly sizable hit if Baylor can cover up the if Baylor can stay within a field goal of the Cyclones and or wins the game outright. It's going to be a good day for the sports book. That's Iowa State. Previous season Iowa State teams going on the road, I would take Baylor and the points in a heartbeat there. There's something different. I get caught up in 72 points last week. ULM is what it was. 72 points doesn't mean jack to me when you get into Big 12 play, but it does make you feel a whole lot better about your team after a one-point loss to Iowa, and mission accomplished from that standpoint. I don't know much about Baylor. They're not very good at home against the spread. They're only 3-8 in their last 11 home games. But as we talked with John Walters on Monday, and Matt Campbell made this point earlier in the week, there are a lot of similarities between these two teams.
I think there are as well. I think the problem right now for Baylor is they don't have much of a running game. And not that it's easy to run against Iowa State, but I think Iowa State's offense has absolutely found its footing this season. I think the last two games, I know that you can say that they only scored 17 points against Iowa, but I thought for a lot of that game, they looked very good offensively. And then they looked really good offensively against ULM. Yeah, you can point to the UNI game. I tend to believe that when they have put their best foot forward as far as game planning, they've shown what they can do. And I think I'm giving you a preview of the pick six. I'm one of those people that's taking Iowa State with that 3-point cushion, even with the 3-point cushion.
Ah, there you go. If you're doing your homework, if you're listening and you get in as one of these six callers tomorrow, maybe you have a little bit of a leg up on the competition. 319-366-1600. Rare. Seldom is it the week during football season where it seems like Thursday is the first day where we actually talk football during the week. But I think that's what's going to happen tomorrow. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports with us at 4:30. Joe Spears filling us in on the Blue Raiders at 5 o'clock. And John Werner, who is the beat writer at the newspaper in Waco, Texas, covering the Baylor Bears with us tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Tune in. Three great guests, lots of insight into both Iowa State Baylor and Iowa Middle Tennessee. 319-366-1600. We had Gary Rima earlier today at 4:30. UNI has a big game this weekend as well. A couple top 10 teams in the FCS ranks going at it. Tough road trip to Ogden, Utah for the Panthers as they will take on Weber State. It's a purple out. I know what they're going for here. This is a pretty big non-conference game for them, but swing and a miss having a purple out against, of all teams, the UNI Panthers.
Oops.
Yeah, well, somebody might be having a discussion with their athletic director after that one.
And doesn't... No more discussions with the athletic director.
Well,
I don't even want to say athletic director the rest of the week.
We've talked about a guy with a Venmo account and athletic directors and marching bands and a beer
school
company
president.
And school presidents and police departments. And this will go down as maybe one of the most bizarre weeks in sports talk radio here in the state of Iowa.
I've never had a weirder one.
I've been doing this for 8+ years, and I can't think of a week where you had two stories. This is really, to borrow from the gambling world, this is a parlay of bad. Just, you never know what you're going to deal with on any given day when you walk in the door here. And I take that back because last night as I was laying in bed taking a look at Twitter and trying to follow along with the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks, so a friend of mine needed that game to remain within one run to win some money. I'm laying in bed going, okay, tomorrow I know what I'm going to walk in the door and wind up discussing. And if you missed anything of the discussion and emphasis on discussion and dialogue, podcast will be available tonight at kgymradio.com for you. We spent the vast majority of the 4 and 5 o'clock hours this evening, the first two that we were on the air, discussing what happened last night with Carson King and the Des Moines Register and $1.1 million in pledged donations to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. And there are no winners in what happened last night. Nobody wins. Carson comes off looking fairly good, although there are still people that, and rightfully so in my opinion, say you don't get a free pass for typing something that comes off as racist. But other people out there say, 16 years old, who among us hasn't made a mistake when we were young? It's a very complicated issue. But luckily, at this point, the money is still there for the Children's Hospital. Bush, which has severed all ties, they put his picture on the cans.
Yeah, I noticed that. I found and that a little selling, interesting in the first place.
They were selling T-shirts with his likeness on it and donating the proceeds to the Children's Hospital. They very quickly disavowed last night. And you can get as mad as you want to at them, but until you're in the seat of a multi-million-dollar company and have to worry about public backlash, and for everybody out there that's mad that they're disavowing Carson King, there might be somebody out there in another state that says, why would you partner with somebody who has a racist past? And again, in 2019, two tweets equal that term. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. Some of you are hearing that. You can hear whatever you want to. But they made a decision. It's not a very popular one here in the state of Iowa, but they will continue to match the donations through the end of the month, which I believe was the original pledge all along. So I do know that there were a number of people that have been Venmoing him money today, the cost of their Des Moines Register subscriptions, which they have canceled and then instead given him the money to have it matched and donated to the Children's Hospital. I will say this. I subscribe to 3 newspapers, and the Des Moines Register is one of them. And I subscribe to it for their sports coverage and their coverage of state and national politics, especially once every 4 years. It's pretty important in this state, and the Des Moines Register, in my opinion, does it better than anybody else. And I'm not canceling my subscription. I'm going to continue to read the paper. I'm going to continue to read the fine work of people like Chad Lystico, Mark Emmert, Tommy Birch. But I'm putting myself in the position of how I would want to be treated and how I would want people to treat this station if somebody that I worked for did something that reflected poorly on us as a whole, but not necessarily me or you. And we can't control what one of our colleagues says or does. I would still want people to listen to the station if that were ever the case. And so you can do what you want with your subscription money, or you can unfollow or not like something on Facebook if it makes you feel better at the end of the day. It doesn't change anything about this story. And that's part of what we were discussing earlier today.
I was at least generally pleased with the discussion that we had. Not necessarily. I was happy with the way that you brought this up, but with the participation as well of people who called and texted in. I know that it's difficult now to have open dialogue about things that we disagree on, and I was very happy with how we did that today on both ends, listeners and on our end. I enjoyed that discussion.
There's that quote from Forrest Gump, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And some days the text line and the phone calls here are like shopping at a discount grocery store. Sometimes when you buy the off-brand, off-label, you can taste the difference and it's not good. And sometimes it's of equal or even better quality. And I felt today was one of those days where you guys delivered the quality just as much as we did. I can't sit here and take credit for anything we had as far as the dialogue goes, because it goes two ways. And we had calls and texts right out of the bat. And when we're doing that, that makes us better, and it gives you a better product to listen to and consume. So thank you very much for contributing to what I feel is going to stand as one of the best shows I've ever done. I'm walking out of this building tonight, and I'm darn proud of what we've done over the last 3 hours here, keeping in mind I've still got 5 minutes in which I can ruin it. 319-366-1600. We've got to take last break. Well, last break. When we come back, we will reset for you one more time what to expect on a jam-packed Thursday edition of local programming, which all kicks off tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class. This is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by City Tractor of North Liberty. Back with more after this.
Lawn legends run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Simplify supper this season. Order Happy Joe's in Cedar Rapids. Happy Joe's has the biggest large pizza in town to fill up the whole fam. And you could save some dough with Happy Joe's hot deals at happyjoescr.com. While you're there, sign up for Happy Joe's VIP Club too for exclusive offers and to earn points towards a free pizza. Go to happyjoescr.com and order your favorite pizza online from Happy Joe's 3 Cedar Rapids locations. Delivery or carryout available.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351. That's 1-800-471-4351.
Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
6:52, we welcome you back in. Got about another minute plus with you tonight before we turn you loose on a Wednesday evening. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we've been down this road before already tonight, but want to remind you again, football, football, football tomorrow. Actual sports talk on a sports talk radio station. It is possible. They said it wasn't, but we'll prove them wrong. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports is with us at 4:30. Joe Spears, who covers Middle Tennessee, at 5 o'clock, and John Werner, who writes about the Baylor Bears in Waco, Texas, at 6 o'clock. That's all coming up for you on a Thursday edition of the show, plus an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're not hanging out at Mulligan's tomorrow. We will be back there next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and Linder Tire. com. Plenty to get into tomorrow. Again, local programming returns with the gym class. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes come your way every day from 3 until 4 right here on KGYM. Wednesday's edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by City Tractor in North Liberty. Over 40 full lines of outdoor power equipment in stock at their location. Give them a call, 665-6500. You need a big old tractor? You need a lawnmower? They got you covered. Thank you, City Tractor. We'll be back with you again tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock.